Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Napa Know-How. At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa Automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa Automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/20.
That Lil Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, but it said Mr. Worldwide. You already know what it is. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Subscribe today. Now, part of the things that we're doing over here at Negative to Positive is encouraging people to change their lives, change the things that are within their power. I want to thank our good friends at KFC for helping me bring this to you. Feed your whole crew with KFC. Let's go. I can get the KFC bucket of chicken, and you know, that's fire. Now, Babo, you know that. You could get that mac and cheese, that mashed potato, gravy, those biscuits. Now that's trouble right there. That is fire right there. You know, on Negative to Positive, we always talking about striving and achievement. And the Colonel Sanders story is a story that inspired me since I was 10 years old. Look how our life comes full circle. Now I'm talking about Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken and how much I love it. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Check out the vodcast. Subscribe today. Apple Podcast, Podcast One, Spotify.
Welcome back to Collider Live, the best show on the damn YouTubes. I'm Roxy Stryer, wearing my cat ears still, and possibly also feeling the effects of all of the things I did to partake in cats last night. A little bit this morning, the most evil one across from me, Darina.
Good morning, Roxy. Good morning to our audience. Thanks for watching. We are going to talk about so many fun things, including a movie that we saw, because we can't talk about cats.
Yeah, we cannot talk about cats, but we can meow like cats.
We can meow. Yes.
Yeah, Mark Riley, you got a good meow?
Meow. That was pretty good.
Wow, you sit in the room, you play the game.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, I played.
I'm happy about it. Yeah. I'm happy about
How
it.
How are you?
Well, not as happy as I am about our guest today, Koi Jandro.
Hey! Yeah.
Have we ever done a show like here?
Well,
like live. I don't, because I think I've been
together
here when you've been out
live together.
Okay, so I've obviously, you come on DC Movie News,
right.
I've come on Marvel
Heroes.
Movie News, I've come on Heroes, but you've come on live.
I don't know if we've ever done like a freewheeling show.
Like
freewheeling.
Where we can talk. That's a good way to put it.
Freewheeling.
Today on Collider Live, we're wheeling and dealing, folks.
I feel the less structure feels good. Like, I immediately want to ask, what is the best augmentation for cats? And I couldn't ask it on another show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would be your pick?
Mm-hmm. It's tough to say when I can't talk cats too much.
I was going to say.
Well, because that's the
but
fun
was,
non-spoiler review is like, what drugs?
What drugs?
I mean,
that's
our
what
voices
I'm saying.
Are
like, I want to talk about why certain ones.
Oh,
like,
I see. Because
the shapes and things.
The shapes.
I do feel like both our voices are a little bit on the raspier.
Yeah, everybody,
this morning.
Last night as I was reviewing that Star Wars movie we saw on my YouTube channel, everybody was like, yo, your voice is shot. And I was like, listen, I just saw cats. Everybody was like, what does that have to do with anything?
You were like, because I had to prepare to see cats.
I was obviously shouting a ton.
Yes,
and
correct.
And other things as well. Weed, guys, I'm talking about cannabis, okay?
Yes,
Cody Hall.
The cannabis movie.
Guys.
Happy morning.
Hi, Cody.
Win. Everyone good? Nothing exciting happening today.
How you doing, Cody?
Nothing out of the ordinary.
Nothing.
Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah,
everything's
fine.
Good.
It's going to be a fine show, Cody.
Let's talk about Star Wars,
we're
guys.
Feeling fine. We're all fine here.
Cody,
no,
yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Cody, were you so happy with the conversation we were having right before the show started that made your job more challenging and possibly scarier?
So stressed out. Sometimes the YouTube stream starts a little early, so I had to mute you guys and tell you to stop talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking Star Wars, and don't worry, we will be talking Star Wars today. Yes,
because
we
Star
all.
Star Wars is definitely a movie.
My thing is, I've been lobbying to come on live whenever it's possible, and I was so excited, and Mark was like, tomorrow, are you around? I was like, absolutely, I'll move some stuff. And then I was like, oh, a Star Wars episode.
Yeah.
And then I realized that fear eventually leads to the dark side. So I am no longer going to fear the fandom. I'm no longer going
Can't
to be quiet. I'm going to be right here, and I'm going to stand on my, oh my God, that movie happened ground.
Yes, it did.
No. Nine.
No. Yes, it did. I was trying to be
Don't
nice
you,
to you guys.
I was not trying to be nice to you.
Oh, well, then fine.
Don't you you let your fist touch my Star Wars fist?
We're not touching today at all, Roxy.
I don't want to fist you with my Star Wars fist with your non-Star Wars fister fist.
If there was fisting in the movie, it would have been better.
I think there was subtext fisting as an option.
Sometimes you throw things like this out and just curious. Like, do you actually think that? Do you actually think? Because spoiler alert, there was no fisting scene, I suppose.
But if you go on Tumblr, they actually have all of these fan fiction things that are more entertaining.
The old triple F, the fanfic fisting.
I already really regret asking this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Yo, is fisting a real thing people do? Like outside of porno and stuff? Like
people are into kinky stuff? I'm personally not into it.
Not kinky stuff. Like some people casually just throw a fist up there.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
What do you mean casually as opposed to in a
sexual way? No, I mean in a sexual way, but I mean casually.
It doesn't like slip in there.
But I just mean like you would have to like, in order to get a fist inside any of my, like
training.
Even my mouth, like anywhere inside me, it would be like a, this is a marathon, not a sprint.
Uh-huh.
Like we would have to lead up for it for months. I'd have to train.
Oh, I think that's the perk,
but
right?
I think like, that's people, what people do.
They like the challenge.
I think they work on it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's how you, like you work at anything in life. That's how you work with your partner in bed to have certain things happen that you want
good
to
about
explore.
It? What?
I don't know. I'm not into it, but
it's
people
never
like
made
it.
Sense to me, but I think the landing is what they're going for. Like I imagine like when you get there, you're like, did that thing that I've been trying to do.
Like, did you ever remember Chasing Amy? Like that scene where like when she literally like explains how lesbians like have sex and she just goes like this and then like that, I was always like, oh, that's curious, like I wonder what that feels like.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know,
it hurts both my all of the holes at once when we talk about it. That's the thing, like whatever floats your boat, and there's something sexually I don't feel like doing but understand why other people do it, like that totally rocks. I don't get the fisting thing. Like, I don't get how that feels okay for somebody to have, like, a whole...
Well, your hand's tiny, so, you know, maybe somebody likes it.
It's still
a fist. It depends on the size.
It's not that tiny.
I mean, comparatively.
Also, isn't it really bad for you?
I can't imagine it's good for you. Like, I can't imagine, like, an exit being used with such merciless rage.
But why is it bad for you, though?
Because
if you're safe about anything, you just use lube, you use all these things to make sure...
Babies come out of vaginas and stuff.
Exactly. And they destroy vaginas. They rip vaginas when they come out.
And there's less. I imagine there's less prep though with babies,
correct?
Because like you know that's a one time.
Exactly,
the first time's a one time.
But your body dilates, so there is prep. Like your body's prepping.
And with dilating, there's ripping. So I can't imagine that the other. There's no real winning this conversation.
Yeah, was that your meow?
Like there's. I don't know what a comfortable transition is. Right. But,
I've never in my life said this and meant it. It is too early in the morning.
Yeah.
It is. I'm like I literally this like I just.
But you know what?
Cody,
not for
did you punch
people,
in on
Mark.
Me?
Right.
Did you punch in on me?
No, but I kind of want to just go back to talk about Star Wars spoilers.
Yeah, now I do.
I feel like Star Wars spoilers are less painful than being fisted.
But you got to play the game. I'm in the
question
room.
For you guys. Speaking of playing the game, if you had to say one person in the Collider office who's fisted before, who is it?
Snyder.
That's
I'm looking at Darina.
No hesitation from Corey there.
Oh, you haven't.
Yeah. He knew what his
answer was. I feel like that man is.
That's a good point.
Seen some stuff.
I'm trying
that's
to think.
That's a good
twice
point.
So grizzled.
Darina says
like
that's a good
been,
point.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Solid take.
Yeah. Well,
absolutely,
who else though?
Because
my first thought was Roka, but no. He's too.
I feel like he's a missionary kind of guy.
Yeah. That's how I feel about it too.
I don't.
Should we ask him?
I think he probably lays there.
No, I think he does some stuff, but. But yeah, like more like mission.
Yeah, he's an upstanding citizen.
And I want your ass.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, he,
good
has,
one,
he has like a more aggressive side to him.
And I want it now.
Yeah.
should we have somebody ask around the office? Hey, who's fisted before?
Hey, fisted.
I was about to open
name.
The door,
hey,
but again,
what
too
if it's
early
like
in the
Wendy?
Morning. Oh Jesus!
I bet you
she has tiny little hands.
Yeah, but what?
That's true.
But you never know. There's always some person there that seems really sweet.
Oh yeah, that's
and then
the,
they're like freaky,
like the secretary, like that whole vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we gotta ask her.
What if I did
ask her about the bar fight thing when we were discussing who's gotten in a bar fight?
And she did, right?
Kind of.
Yeah, she said that it was like
a fake bar fight. Yeah. She said, "I didn't really understand
how that
was. Was it choreographed? How do you?
Right? With Wendy, it could have been choreographed.
Somebody
and
called
part of the commercial.
Somebody called somebody she was with, Chubby. And she fake fought them. Honestly,
Did the other person know it was fake, or did she just assault someone and was like, I didn't mean it?
I'm trying to recall actually what was the fake part. Oh, I remember.
Oh.
I wonder if I'm allowed to repeat this. All right, I guess I will.
Freewheeling.
The person who did that, she got really upset, and she took a glass bottle, and she broke it on a table and held it to him and was like, but not like close to him. So she was a fake fight because she didn't actually use it, but she threatened.
But she threatened. Right. Damn.
I mean, that's pretty damn real.
Yeah, I said you broke a bottle?
Yeah, that's like –
Wait, so Wendy
there.
Did that?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, she's scary, too, because she knows, like, actual stunt stuff. Like, she knows how to sword fight, so she can, I wouldn't get into a fight with
yeah,
her.
Yeah, she can kick you in the face.
Yeah,
just
I think she can
there.
Kick all of
just
our
all of
asses.
A sudden, oh, yeah. Where did that come from?
Yeah. Yeah, so see, so maybe she's kinky, too, because of it.
Cody, do you ever think about the fact that you're raising a child who one day will have conversations like this and or participate in fisting?
I mean, not this exact conversation.
Star Wars spoilers, fisting, getting bodied.
Welcome to Collider Live.
Like I said, I wanted to introduce
Collider
Live. Do I want to
come on the show?
Collider Live Bingo, because there was, what was it, baby otters, rape?
Baby seals.
Baby seals yesterday.
But don't enunciate rape as hard as you did.
Yeah, I sure did.
Talk about things it's too early for. Baby otters, rape!
I mean, the fact that we're talking about fisting and sorry,
that's
rape
consensual fisting.
There? Okay, there we go.
That's a goal.
So if you have like, bingo at home, fisting.
Although there also are consensual rape fantasies.
Bingo.
So there's
true, but I feel like
but
fisting,
yeah, no, but we were talking about different.
All the marathon stuff, so I feel like that's the most consensual because you got layers of, you know.
Hold on.
There's no fisting of passion.
How is there a consensual rape
fantasy stuff. Like there's a bunch of stuff that people do as long as it's consensual, like to you know, like where they're like role playing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that stuff
so
does
not
turn
actually
me
rape.
On.
It's not actually rape.
Yeah.
It's like no, it's definitely not actually. Rape. But they do call it like a consensual rape.
To each their own. But like, what the
so
flying fuck?
Now you know what it's like to be on the
this
show.
This is
with
the Collider Live with
yeah.
two of them. I want to say yesterday I almost broke in because I heard you guys talk about rap and the best rappers conversation. I was like, the room's full already.
It's because you love Eminem so much.
But he's not the best, right?
I think alive Eminem.
No, really,
Who's
you agree with Roxy?
Who's better than Eminem alive?
You wait, agree with Roxy?
Holy shit! Is the best comeback album in years.
You just buried the lead, my friend, because the way that you presented this was about to. I was like, all
right,
who's he going to argue?
Right,
who's he going for?
I thought
you
were
with me.
Wordplay,
Eminem
diction,
is the best rapper alive.
Storytelling,
no.
Best hooks, best choruses. Memorability, actual diction, like diction I'm using twice because the man enunciates while he's fast or slow.
But out of everybody alive.
Who's better?
Yeah, about everybody alive.
Even though our old school people. Like everyone.
Eminem, Rakim, Andre 3000, Nas, The Game.
So he's better than all of them.
Yes.
Yeah. The Game was the only dude that, like, The Game wouldn't battle him. Like, that's.
Can we start a poll?
Kendrick,
Kanye.
Can we ask our
Kanye.
Audience who likes because we don't have a live chat today again, guys. If you notice,
Jay-Z,
we don't want any Star Wars spoilers.
Jay-Z is definitely up there.
Can we
J. Cole?
What's challenging
can
is
we ask our audience.
What's challenging is everybody. Anytime I talk about Eminem, people are like, "That's because you only listen to mainstream." I don't know what it's because. To me, he's the best.
I think
he's
even
the best. I
think
he's mainstream
think he's
because
the
he's the best. He's so effing good. Yeah, 50 is the one who always says he's the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just agreeing with 50.
I think.
Okay.
I wish Kanye was as good as Kanye thought he was, but Kanye hasn't been good in 4 albums.
I don't disagree with that. However, he was amazing
versus,
when he was great.
Old Kanye versus old Eminem, no contest Eminem.
Okay.
And I think Eminem has had one bad album, one and a half bad albums.
Which?
And he's had. I didn't love the one where he was still on drugs right before Relapse.
Oh, okay.
And I thought there was merit in the album before Kamikaze, but I only liked half of it. I think Kamikaze is the best comeback in decades, like as far as any music.
What is your favorite, The Eminem Show or Marshall Mathers?
Marshall
or
Mathers LP.
Okay.
And then Marshall Mathers LP 2 is solid, too. Like, he's got 9 amazing albums.
This is what I was talking about yesterday, though, which not on this show in life. So now I'll talk about it here because, the brain is warming up. I think that what's wild about Eminem's story is the fact that everything with his dad, like, what an idiot his dad is. What a or was, because I found out he died this year.
No shit.
Yeah, he died in June. Like, imagine if you are Eminem's dad and you abandon Eminem and then your son becomes Eminem. First of all, even if he didn't, like, you just, I know nothing about kids. Literally nothing about kids. Cody, can you agree with that? Know nothing about babies?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Thank
confirm.
You. But what I do know is you don't leave them.
Like, that's the only thing I know.
That's the only thing, no matter what you
no
would do,
what,
you wouldn't leave your kid.
Even if I ended up being the shittiest mom, like, I don't know, I leave the stove on and they, like, burn their hand or, like, whatever kids do. But I don't know, because shitty, but I'm not going to leave.
Right.
That's such a fucked up thing to do. Unless, obviously, you go through the proper channels. There's nothing wrong with giving your kid up for adoption or what. But to leave your kid and then for the kid to reach out to you as many times as they did to not respond and then they get famous and then you reach out, like, what are you, a textbook?
So fucked up.
It's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do that?
And that's another thing. Like, Eminem's adversity is so, like, it's so broad. Like, a lot of people have had stuff like that happen. So I feel like he speaks to a lot of people. Like, Eminem represents an entire subsection of people. And he's the most, like, I don't think anyone is as good at rapping as Eminem, like, at anything as Eminem is at rapping. Like, he's so specifically talented and he's so focused and so driven. And he's come back from so many different sounds. He's changed the way the game is done, like, four times over. He's definitely, like, reinvented himself, like, 10 times over. Like, there's just something about him.
Let me ask you both this, since you're both huge Eminem fans. You both think that he's the best rapper alive, but not alive compared to other rappers that have been dead. Like, where would you rank
him? It might be Pac.
I think the best storyteller of all time is Tupac.
Yes. I agree.
I think the best party rapper is Biggie, and I think the best lyricist is Eminem, even including those two.
It's hard because
but specifically rapper wise,
it's hard
guys,
to compare Tupac Drina because the other ones are dead, so I know whether their career started and finished, and that's where they are. It's going to depend what Eminem continues to do, because what he's done so far has been amazing, but he could have a career that lasts another multiple decades.
Yes.
So then, how do I say that he's not the best, or it could make him worse? Like, it's hard to compare fully, but I give it to Pac.
But I'd say the, like, different categories are important there. Like, I don't think Biggie's as good a storyteller necessarily as Pac, but I think he's a better party rapper. And I don't think that anyone's as good a lyricist as Eminem, but I don't think he's as good of a storyteller as Pac. And I think that, like, tonally, you've got people like Yella Wolf's one of my favorites of all time, and Yella Wolf's sound is completely different than all of them, but it still has Shady influence because he was signed with Shady until this last album.
Let me ask you this then. Who do you think is the best female rapper? I have such a hard time with this one.
Missy?
That was my first thought.
Like, Missy's strong. Missy.
Why don't we have...
Lil' Kim was great.
Why aren't there more women rappers?
I think it's so hard to break in, and I think there's so much judgment in the rap game. Like, I think there's so much, like, perspective that you have to break. You
and
have
also
to break
what
through
the,
so many, like, barriers. And I think it's still a fairly misogynistic culture.
I was going to say, it's also what the genre is kind of about. And not all of it, right? Because I guess it's still rap hip-hop, but, like, I love Kendrick's, what's it called?
Lamar?
No, yeah. What's his album that I loved? The Butterfly one.
Oh,
I don't know album names. I just listen.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, it's the one where, like, it's the Black or the Berry, like all of those songs where, like, he actually combines, like, jazz, kind of like what Outkast did a while ago, right? Like,
that's why Andre 3000 is my number three.
Yeah. So that's kind of like that's my because I didn't grow up with rap or hip hop until I moved to the States. I started listening to it, so I started learning about Tupac and I started learning about Biggie. Like, I didn't know a lot of their stuff, But when I see somebody that's combining these genres as a producer, it's very impressive to me. As on top of, I think Kendrick's an amazing lyricist.
Do you think Eminem does not combine genres?
Yes. No. I'm not. This isn't about more so like knocking down Eminem. I'm just talking about, like, other people that I can think about, like a Kendrick Lamar, right? Like,
Kendrick's great.
One of my favorite albums this year is called Seven Nights in Chicago, and it's David Diggs and Rafa Kassel.
Right.
And they
Hamilton.
Literally, the Hamilton, David, and it's an album of seven different types of sounds. They're all rap songs, but all seven sounds are completely different. And they recorded it in seven nights with, like, a group. They just went to Chicago, and the whole album feels like every song feels different but cohesive somehow. And I think rap can really be so many different genres, even under the umbrella of rap.
Well, how do you feel about Run the Jewels? Because
I don't listen to it often. I respect the talent in it, but when I listen to it, not like my sound.
I love them. I think they're amazing, and they're also amazing live.
And they do a
huge mishmash of genres as well.
And I think indie rap's getting better and better. Like, I think with all the technology we have, like, I saw my boy Echo this week, and he's like a nerdcore rapper, and he literally has a 4-minute freestyle about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, he raps about Stan Lee and Kirby, and he gets through Thanos, and he tells, like, phase 1 through phase 3 plot lines. He's got James Gunn bars. Like, he's incredible.
That's what
but
I do.
He's like an indie white boy rapper that's so good and strong and has great stage presence, but he's also got stuff that's, like, important. He's got songs about, like, you know, the uncomfortability of this generation's date rape culture, and he's got songs about, like, growing up and, like, being a kid that didn't know what he wanted, and, like, he's just a white boy from Vegas, but he's killing it. And it's really interesting because that wouldn't have happened without Eminem. That wouldn't have happened without Yella Wolf. That wouldn't have happened without Ritz. Like, there's so many rappers that are paving the way for new people. So I feel like we'll get more female rappers as the walls are broken down.
Well, I was just thinking about it because this is the same thing I have with my favorite genre of music, which obviously you guys know is rock and roll. That's where my heart and soul lies. But, like, I was thinking about who are the 10 best actors slash actresses of all time, the 10 best rock stars of all time, the 10 best rappers of all time. And it's crazy because we are now thoroughly, like, moving forward, changing the times. But they're kind of mostly all men. Like that's where the opportunities have been given for actors.
Are you talking
and
about
actresses,
specifically in rappers, no, or all of the lists as you mentioned?
All of the genres for me, there are mostly men. For actors and actresses, there are a couple of women in there. For
really?
For rock stars, there's one.
What, pop what? Stars?
Pop stars pop more. Yeah.
Yeah.
What rock stars? Who are you thinking about?
For all the guys?
Yeah. No, because you said there's one for rock stars, female.
To me, it's Stevie Nicks.
Okay, I think there's a lot more than Stevie
in
Nicks.
In the top 10 ever?
Yeah,
you
yes.
think it's you Joan think there
Jett.
Are more
oh, yes.
ones?
Joan Jett,
I would not put Joan Jett in the top 10.
Anne Wilson is
incredible.
Anne Wilson is
Janis Joplin. I would not put them in the top 10. I would put them in the top 30.
I think Anne Wilson has one of the best voices out there.
I don't disagree.
Ever.
I don't
She's
disagree.
She's fucking incredible.
I think Karen O is one of the best voices of all time. Karen O, I don't know if she gets enough credit, but like.
Not knocking them at all. I just think that they're.
Well, compared to which dudes are you talking about? Which rock star males are you talking about?
Are we talking about alive or dead?
Well, dead or alive.
Top
10,
just
tell the rules
dead
of the
or
game.
Alive. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what do you want to do? Well, because you're talking about like women that there's not enough women. So alive or dead, like what are we talking about?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Well, you're the lady of death.
All time.
I feel like it's the greats. I mean, think about all the bands. The Stones, the Beatles, the Chili Peppers.
Simple Plan. You guys listen to Simple Plan? Come on, guys. This is fun music.
Guys, Sum 41 is clearly the greatest band.
Obviously. Obviously, Everclear. Yes. Like Sugar Ray.
Yeah, of course.
You guys are forgetting Marky Mark and the
Funky Bunch. Yeah, really great point.
The Funky Bunch puts them to the top.
They really just elevated
just
Marky Mark's whole movement.
With Funky Bunch.
Yeah, I made a
Milli
list.
Milli Vanilli.
I made a list of, you can find it on my Twitter.
So,
my list?
No, Milli Vanilli, and it was just an obtrusive memory.
A list of who I thought were the 10 best living rock stars.
Living. Okay, so
yeah.
Living. Okay.
If you find on my Twitter, Cody, maybe just type in Roxy Stryer.
Twitter.
Living rock stars. Twitter.
So what I found interesting doing my hip hop list was my 10 best of all time was very different than my 10 favorite. So like when you asked about Run the Jewels, like what I actually listen to isn't what I consider necessarily the best.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting like what you find resonates to you, but you can also acknowledge the talent of.
Right.
Like Run the Jewels, I can be like very talented, not my sound. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of my favorites aren't people that I consider. Like I love MGK's old stuff, but I would never say Machine Gun Kelly's in the top 10 of all time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
to
like
me.
Childish Gambino is close to both. I think Childish is
great too.
His atmosphere
He's
is incredible.
One of the most people on the planet.
Really
here is my
life.
10 greatest living rock stars of all time. Not of all time.
Number one, Mick Jagger, huh?
I think he is
the
best living rock star.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I would agree.
Now,
with that.
What do you mean you by think... rock star? Do you mean like as a lead frontman person or as
rock star?
It's just in general.
Yeah,
just rock star.
Rock star.
Okay. Because
I guess Stevie is my only woman in there.
Because I guess if Bowie was alive or Prince were alive, they'd both be there for me.
But they're not.
Yeah, but would they be your top? No, but that's my...
As much as we could turn back time, yeah.
A lot of people...
So where's Cher?
A lot of people would be in my top if they were alive.
Freddie Mercury, Bowie, Prince, all
Yeah, but more like... all of the grunge people that off themselves, like
Kurt Cobain.
So many. Yeah, there's a lot of them. So Mick Jagger, Paul McCartney, Bruce Springsteen, Robert Plant, Stevie Nicks, Axl Rose, Eric Clapton, Dave Grohl, I'm just so obsessed with these days, Flea, and Steven Tyler. Eddie Vedder / close honorable mentions. Yeah, Roger Waters as well.
So no Ozzy.
But that's subjective because he could be on somebody's list for sure. I mean, and that would make complete sense.
So it's interesting with the generation stuff because this is all like the generation before my sound.
Yeah.
And I respect what all these people did, but I never listened to them. So like I love like White Zombie defined rock for me. I like Rob Zombie, but White Zombie is the sound of rock and roll to me.
Mm-hmm.
And like I know that all these people influenced White Zombie, but I'd never put myself as like listening to a single one of these. And that's it's interesting because we're the same age.
Yeah.
But I just, my parents are young, so I grew up on Marilyn Manson, Zombie, Prodigy, mm-hmm. Slipknot. Same. So like all of Prodigy. This is older folk music to me. Like this is people that are in their 60s. So like I don't know. I know who Flea is. I know who they are, but I don't listen to their music. So that's that like favorite versus like of all
I
know. Time.
Well, it's also interesting to talk about like the word rock stars, right? Because in that vein, like I think that there's still people out there that are even more legendary than some people on this list, like a Stevie Wonder, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and so he's
are you calling him a rock? Oh, okay.
Like he's not necessarily of the rock genre, but he encompasses all of these things to me.
I
does
that
make sense?
I
so there's people
Ray
like
Charles,
that,
I think, would be like a rock star
right.
to me.
Yeah, mm. like obviously Aretha when she was alive. You know, mm-hmm. like there's people like that that I think
you
are,
would put Aretha on if she was alive on a rock star list.
No, that's I'm trying to figure that out, right? Because a Stevie Wonder, I think, deserves to be on something else, especially because this isn't just voices, right? This is just encompassing
rock
like
stars.
Being like famous and
but
like
in
the
genre
whole,
of rock. I wouldn't put Aretha Franklin or Stevie Wonder on there.
Neither would I.
Greatest
honestly
who, singers all time, yeah, singers,
exactly.
songwriters. You
who
know.
I had a hard time placing was Bruce because to me he is the greatest living artist. Period. Mm. But I couldn't put him at one or two because he isn't the greatest living rock star. Yes, he has a band. I would consider it E Street Band would be rock and roll, but not the same way that Rolling Stones would be. You know,
that makes sense.
But it's hard. It's hard. And who knows? This could change all the time. But you're saying you would have
I would definitely
at least
have
half women in your list.
I don't know about half, but I definitely would add Anne to that. I think Anne Wilson, and I've seen her live even like as she's been older, and she just rocked. She actually, I saw Heart in concert and the Bengals open, so that was nice. But she just rocked it. Like she sang Barracuda. She sang every song that's super difficult to sing, and she just. It doesn't matter what she looked like. Like just on stage, she just commanded the stage. I was really impressed.
She was on a lot of people's top 10 lists.
She's
You're
incredible.
Not alone in that. Yeah.
The band gets a lot of crap, but one of the best performers I've ever seen with either singing ability or like just rage is Chester Bennington. Like Chester Bennington's voice was like nothing else. I'd say him and Axl Rose like have two of the best voices I've ever heard. And Linkin Park is a defining sound for a generation that gets a lot of guff.
I
but
love
I think
Linkin
that, like,
Park.
Their sound is it changed rock.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree.
I'm not into them as much.
If you guys had to say your
But name. I didn't grow up with them.
Yeah, so. That's what's tricky about these folks.
Cody, you're a Linkin Park fan, no?
Oh, yeah. I grew up with that shit.
Yeah, great. I feel like Chester's like one of the best voices we've ever had.
Yeah. Of our time, yeah, I would say.
If you guys had to say the number one greatest living rock star, who was your pick then?
Living.
Living rock star.
I mean, I think the greatest, like, you know, GOAT would be Paul McCartney just because he's still the, you know, he's a Beatle.
Yeah.
And I think there's, as much as I love the Beatles, but I get sick of, you know, listening to the same songs over and over again because I think there's, I like new music. There's nobody like them.
Mm-hmm. I think Steven Tyler, his old sound evolved into, like, he had a very, like, country-tinged, like, Johnny Cash evolved into the full rock, but on the way, like, he brought up Run DMC when they collaborated, and he allowed influences of other sounds to influence his sound. So I think rock being so encompassing, I got to give it to the person that allowed it to be so encompassing. So Steven Tyler.
He's on my list for a reason. I'm obviously biased towards Aerosmith, but
we're both. There's a certain hometown advantage Steven Tyler gets.
He's a god. He's truly a god. He embodies rock star, the word, so perfectly.
Yeah. I mean, he remained a rock star even if after he did the crappy Armageddon song. So there you go.
He came back from Armageddon, which is something that not many can do.
There you go.
Mark, who's your number one?
Paul McCartney, but an argument can be made for Mick Jagger. I mean, I keep going back and forth because he for me really encompasses rock and roll.
Which one?
Beatles, Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Beatles, Paul McCartney especially, has dabbled in pop that I felt, especially with his Wings career. But you can't take away, to your point, the Beatles or the Beatles. So he kind of...
And look,
for me, is my favorite, but Mick Jagger encompasses everything that we say rock star. When you hear rock, when you see a rock star, it's Mick Jagger in my mind because of the Stones.
Cody, what do you think? Number one.
I'm probably going to go with Pierre from Simple Plan.
Okay.
Just listen to it, guys.
Definitely a rock star
name.
Joy
it brings you.
Pierre.
Bring you right back to the day 2002.
Oh,
no helmets, no pads. Just
balls.
Wow, so good. A couple things, guys, before we go on our first commercial break. Number one, I just wanted to let you guys know that you probably noticed this at this point if you're watching live. There is no chat going live today because we don't want to spoil anything for anybody. And you guys listening right now are not the assholes, but there are some assholes on the internet, and those people will come in and put Rise of Skywalker spoilers. So we just eliminated it for today. But don't forget to comment afterwards. We'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. Also, if you're looking at my shirt and you're feeling oh so jealous at home, or you're checking out Mark's jacket because you just love that thing. Mm-hmm. Heroes and Villains, guys. Heroes and Villains. We're obsessed with their clothes, and you can get them as well. HeroesVillains.com. Live10 is the code to get you 10% off. Live10 gets you 10% off at HeroesVillains.com. And today, Mark, you told me this, that there's actually $20 off of the Star Wars outerwear already.
20% off. The jacket I'm wearing right now is the... What's that now?
It's not $20 off?
Does it? I thought it was 20% off.
It says $20 off.
Hold on.
You're going to get a discount no matter what.
You're getting a good discount.
Yeah.
Yeah, $20
off, but what you're probably thinking of is the 10% off additionally
the 10%
that we
additionally.
Have. So that's $20 off, and then with Live 10, you get an additional 10% off. So basically, that's coming to you real cheap, and these bombers seem to be a fan fave.
The bombers, they have the Warriors of Mandalore. Is the coolest line they have going there. There's that bomber jacket that I wanted to put on, but somebody has it. They must have worn it to the screening. But that,
guys,
yes, $20 off. $20 off the outerwear is a big deal, and then you get the 10%. We are crushing with Live.
I know.
So come on, guys. This is a little bit of a competition amongst the shows.
Sorry, Coy.
Sorry, Riley on Rula 2.
You guys get the freewheeling. I got to plug stuff in between 18 news stories. We got so much time.
Freewheeling and dealing. So, guys, one more time, heroesvillains.com, Live 10. It's the holidays, so you know you want to get yourself a gift or your loved one. Make sure you use the code at Live 10. We're going to be talking way more Star Wars when we come back.
Can I leave you guys with a challenge for the break?
Sure.
I would love to hear a challenge for the break.
Most slept on hip-hop artist from before this generation and this generation's most slept on.
Wait, before what generation?
Like 90s and earlier. Like older hip-hop.
Like
most
90s
slept on.
Lower.
Yeah,
and
90s lower and 95 to now.
Wait, I don't know.
That's why we got a break.
The most slept
Why are you
on?
Giving us homework during the break?
I don't want.
You no rest.
I said you sit in the room, you play the game.
God
but Cody, do I have to play the game?
He found a loophole.
Oh, man.
Sit in the room, you play the game.
Especially on a
Cody.
Break.
We're on break.
What's up, guys? Your boy Dorian.
To Santa Barbara, me and you. Let's hit up some touring shops. Let's buy some antiques. And I'll text you back something witty. Yeah, let's develop some inside jokes. I want to know you, man. Want to make you smile. Want to be your sunshine.
David Johnson. The action guy. Make it big. Make it big. Make it big. And then we'll watch.
All right.
Make it big. Make it big. Make it big. And then we'll watch.
Oh, yes, Alex.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Not right now, Derek!
Welcome back to Collider Live. Koi gave us homework, and then he decided to
and
leave.
And then he left.
And he's like, bye, guys.
He's like, Koi, where are you?
Gone. I think you'll be coming back.
I think so, too.
Unclear.
We shall see. Always surprises on Collider Live.
Yeah, but we will be talking, like I said, Star Wars, and we got a lot of it, and we got a lot of different opinions
really
on this going into
opinions.
Today. Yes, we're going to be talking Rise of Skywalker, obviously. Everybody in this room and in the booth saw it, but we will be doing no spoilers. Koi also saw it for whenever he decides to join the show.
Come back.
How much he didn't like it.
We'll also be talking Mandalorian. You know what? Koi actually did not see Mandalorian, so I don't know where you're...
Oh. There you are.
Welcome back.
Leaving us.
We are live.
Leaving us homework and leaving.
I had 3.5 minutes with my very quick
coffee. There
yeah,
it is.
Guys, it goes by fast. It goes by fast. Everybody, welcome back, Koi.
Koi.
The door was closed. That was very intimidating.
Koi, we said you gave us homework and then you left.
I did. I was like, just that. I'm the worst teacher ever. Here's homework.
So we thought about it.
Well, I couldn't think of...
we didn't do a good job, but we did a job.
But we tried.
You did the game.
Yeah.
Maybe Cody did a better job.
We would disappoint Yoda because we tried, we didn't do it.
I respect the effort. I'm not like Yoda in that way.
Cody, did you come up with any?
No, I didn't do shit.
Okay, good.
I was playing sound bites.
He was trying to find a simple plan.
He's still listening to Simple Plan and Sugar Ray. That's right.
I said to you, hip-hop-wise, I have... Yeah, good point. Valid point. I don't have any idea.
Mark McGrath is definitely the front man of all time.
Of course. But rock stars, though, I was telling Roxy that I think the Kinks are very underrated in general.
I agree.
Because I think without them, we wouldn't have a bunch of bands. Like, if you're talking about influences earlier with hip-hop artists,
yeah.
I think they're one of the most underrated rock bands
ever. It's hard for me to call them underrated because they're all over my house. And growing up,
same.
I listen to the Kinks so often. So it's like I don't even have an awareness of who has an awareness of the Kinks.
Right.
But I agree that they're phenomenal.
Right.
I think that the current band that's underrated for me is The National.
Oh, they're great.
They're amazing.
I haven't heard of them.
They're excellent. You guys know them because they're on movie soundtracks like crazy.
Yep.
Okay.
But they're really great. Have you guys seen Warrior? One of my favorites. So they have a couple songs in Warrior.
Tom Hardy, okay.
Yeah. The
singer also sings something on Game of Thrones, no?
Possibly.
Or no, not Game of Thrones. Lord of the Rings, I believe.
Oh, possibly,
like,
yeah.
Warrior's the most slept on sports movie of our time.
Ever. It's amazing. Yeah. It was when we did our decades list, it made my top 10. But they are a great band. And the other great thing I love about them is they are always touring. Hmm. Always touring. So you can catch them, and they're all over the place, but especially in Los Angeles. They play here multiple times a year, every single year.
What's the best concert you've seen recently, like this year or last year? Because I go, like, I know Koi and I go to a lot, but I don't know how many you guys go to.
God, I go to zero. So I'm trying to. John Williams.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
The best one I went to recently, I really don't go often. I see the National every time that they're here. Right now, what I'm trying to get to is what is the Boston festival that's blown up recently? It's called Boston.
It's a music festival, a Lollapalooza.
Yeah, maybe
whatever.
You can help me out.
It's in the name, like Boston
Cody.
Sound. It's something it's something like that. It's
Boston,
got Boston in it.
Can you look it up for me, Cody, please? It's called.
Looking it up on my phone. Hold on.
Oh, thank you. I'm trying to go because the Chili Peppers are headlining it, obviously, with John Frusciante coming back. I'm obsessed with that. But also the Foo Fighters, who I think are a slept on band as well.
Best concert recently, Yellow Wolf, by a landslide. Yellow Wolf has a cappella sets that are incredible, and he also plays with live beats. Like Travis Barker does a lot of his beats. Mm-hmm. So he just plays with an actual someone mixing behind him, and that means he's changing his flow mid-song, and they're speeding up, slowing it down in real time on the ones and twos. Mm-hmm. And his sound involves like fiddles as well as like eight tracks. Like it's incredible. Like he uses an 808 and a fiddle in equal measure, and that's the sound is nothing like it. And he does all that live, and he has energy to go for like 2 hours, and the show's $20.
Right,
I see him for nothing.
You just got Cody to perk up when you mentioned Travis Barker.
Oh yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Travis,
he's like, maybe I should get into this.
Travis Barker on beats. They have three mixtapes together.
Nice. Boston Calling.
I
need
Calling. I'm desperate to go. It's very expensive, but I really would like to go. Because
music festivals are my favorite, man.
I like them too, but I typically have gone to Coachella, and I have not gone in the last 5 years, but I went for 6 years prior to that in a row. And it's more mainstream, but I still loved it.
I stopped going because it got so mainstream, but I went last year, this particular year, and I saw a bunch of bands that I love, and I was so happy. Like everybody from like Aphex Twin, you know, from like that like sort of prodigy sound back in the 90s, to newer bands like French EDM, like Polo and Pan, and like Gesaffelstein. Like there's just so much good music out there that like it's hard for me to say what my favorite concert this year is in general. But recently, Thom Yorke was amazing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I didn't know that he was that incredible, groundbreaking at experimental EDM. Like, I'm so impressed with him because I knew Johnny Greenwood was amazing just as a film composer, right? But like, now it makes sense why they're both combined and make Radiohead a great band.
Do you guys know Jidenna? He's great live.
Who?
Can you say it again?
Jidenna, J-I-D-E-N-N-A.
I've never seen him live in concert, but I know who you're talking
sound
about.
His sound is
so... I don't know who that is.
Like, it's an equal mix of, I'd say, like, a Nos flow with Afrofuturism sound. So it's actually, like, African-influenced beats and rhythms mixed with our stuff. And he's, an Ivy League graduated dude that got into teaching and then was like, I'm actually a great rapper and just started his career, like, 3 years ago. He was on the Luke Cage soundtrack. He was one of the guys that performed at the Hell's Kitchen, like, club, and that's where I discovered him. He's brilliant. Huh.
But that's what happens now with a lot of these people that are mixing genres, too. Like, all of these DJs now are mixing with, like El Búho. He's mixing, like, EDM with, like, Latin music, right? And also some Afrobeat stuff. Like, I could go on for hours.
Mark, you know what I think is happening here right now? I think what's happening is the two people who do not feel like talking about Rise of Skywalker are stalling. That
pretty
is
sure.
What I
slept
find.
On artists.
I've
I think slept on artists need more lists than top 10. I think slept
I understand.
Just bring the Spotify
I
awareness.
Understand your love for music, people.
Too short. E40 in the game are mine.
We've given it 40 minutes.
Too short.
Another too good short concert was King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, but
and E40 has like an incredibly unique
Lizard
flow.
Wizard.
Mark,
yeah,
it's really
that.
Good.
Yeah, rocks.
Let's take them over. Let's.
You know what?
I think we can.
Let's talk Star Wars. I'm ready.
Throw them.
Cody, are you ready?
It's so weird. My mic stopped working, guys. I can't take part in this conversation.
Wow,
we
crazy.
Understand. I understand.
You
want
to know what's interesting, actually? I know exactly how the people in this room feel about it, but I have not spoken to Cody Hall at all. Cody, I know that you said your mic broke, but if it does fix itself, I do want to talk Rise of Skywalker with you because right now, guys, non-spoiler, we all saw it. All four of us in this room and Cody in the booth, our booth boy, did see Rise of Skywalker. We are going to do a non-spoiler review, like it or not, and we have both sides here.
Sure
we
do.
Are doing it.
Both sides, definitely.
So, Cody, I do want to start with you because I don't know how.
Why are you throwing me to the wolves like this?
I'm not throwing you to the wolves, but I really have no idea how you don't wear your emotions on your sleeve the way the rest of us apparently do.
Right.
How did you feel about the movie?
All right. It wasn't for me. I'm going to put it that way, guys.
Okay.
I wasn't a huge fan. Okay. Most of my problems with it are spoiler specific, so I'm not going to get into it too much. Just know it's probably my least favorite of the three that they've done.
Is it your least favorite of the nine or your least favorite of the three?
No, this is still better than most of the prequels, but it's my least favorite of the new ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So maybe we can try to stagger this. I'll go to Mark Riley next.
Okay.
Mark, how did you feel?
Let me tell you something about sitting in that theater.
Tell us.
You look so
tell
happy.
Us, Mark.
I was a happy, happy guy. This was me as a kid. It hit me in all the Star Wars feels. I cried, I laughed, I cheered, and that's what I'll say. If you grew up loving Star Wars like I did, that it's so a part of you growing up, I saw what they were trying to do. Now I know. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. I hear you, Cody. I acknowledge. I understand. Because I can step outside of my body, my Star Wars loving body, and go, yeah, okay, there are some things that I understand. Writing, producing, all the development, all the problems, the discourse across the fandom, Lucasfilm, all these things. But if you like Star Wars, I think you're going to love this movie.
Okay. Keeping staggering it. Koi, thoughts on Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker?
Much like Mark, I can step out of my body and I can go, I am so excited for Star Wars fans that have been lifelong fans. I'm so excited for people that love this franchise, and it will please a lot of people. And those people aren't wrong. They're just not me. I did not like this movie. I thought it was color by numbers in a way that offended me. I thought it was
offended you?
Because I'm worried about the future of genre content. Mm-hmm. Like I've been worried about the future of genre content for a long time, and I feel like this is the slippery slope to.
But being worried about the future offends you?
Yeah, because my life is this world. Like my life is genre content, and someone went through Reddit and grabbed all the things they wanted to see in a movie and wrote a script about it. Like that's embarrassing. Like I don't want to see a movie that a bunch of people that want things to be lean and linear wrote. I want to be challenged. I love what Rian Johnson says and does, and I
you love The Last Jedi.
Yeah, this is my number 6 of 9. This one. And I would say Last Jedi is my number 2 or 3, and that is the end of my Twitter. Goodbye. But I think that
you're sitting with 2 diehard Last Jedi people also.
Love so. The Last Jedi.
Empire Last Jedi or maybe Empire New Hope Last Jedi. But either way, that's the alternation right there. And so to me, what this did was undermine a lot of things I love about Star Wars, and that's the offensive, by doing something that feels so – it betrays what I consider Star Wars to represent.
Okay.
Without spoilers, it does something very specific that I think Star Wars represents, and it goes like, that's not right, and lightsabers my legs out from under me.
So keeping the checkerboard going, I'll hit myself next. I am obsessed with this movie and having a really hard time understanding how people are not. I haven't gotten to where you are yet, Mark, where I'm able to step outside and figure it out because I thought it was so beautiful. I thought it was so heartwarming and stood for exactly what Star Wars stands for and did not take massive risks in a way that Rian Johnson did and I really appreciated, but did tie together a saga that has meant so much to so many people in a way that I thought was really respectful, really charismatic, and cool. Honestly, I thought that a lot of the movie while I was watching it just made me I cried a few times, and I also thought it was funny in a way that I appreciated, not funny in a Marvel copycat, which I've seen online people saying, kind of way. I was not that big of a fan of Rey in episode 7. I liked her a little more in 8, and after episode 9, to me, she's one of the best Star Wars characters that there is, and the way that they were able to build that I think is incredible. I think that she's just such a badass character. I keep tracing the word no on my page because I don't want to give any spoilers. So,
I was wondering what that was. Also, you started during my review, and I was like,
she's taking notes in my opinion?
No. I'm so scared because there are things to spoil about this movie. I am so scared of doing it.
I agree.
I literally just keep writing no. So, if you're wondering, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Or I'm hexing you, and I'm making your hand disagree with everything you're saying.
I love Kylo. I just think that he is such a brilliant character, and I think that this movie did exactly what I needed it to do. It didn't do all the things that I thought it would do, but it did what I needed it to do and won. So that's how I felt. Darina, let's keep the checkerboard going, baby.
I'm with Cody. Do I have to?
Yeah, I know.
I got to play the game.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything you don't want to do, except you have to say something.
Okay. Something. There. I said it. I hate this movie. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. I'm not sorry. I also don't hate this movie. I don't. It hasn't ruined anything for me. But
are you offended?
But because I've already not really liked the new stuff in right. general, right? So I went into this movie similar like I went to Last Jedi and Force Awakens and any other new Star Wars content we got into, that I'm just going to have fun and try to, you know, enjoy any of the nostalgia stuff that I felt as a kid, which some of it's worked, some of it hasn't. This movie should have been called Star Wars, the Rise of Nostalgia, Star Wars, the Nostalgia of Skywalker, Star Wars, the Rise of Fanservice. I've never seen so much fan service in a movie ever in my life before. Like, it was insane, to the point where not just the same plot points, paint by numbers that Koi was talking about. If you've seen every other Star Wars movie, you know what's going to happen. Like, I don't think that's a spoiler, but that's what I mean by paint by numbers. Not only did they use the exact same plot lines in previous Star Wars movies to wrap this up, but additionally, they use the same scenes. Like, that's how I was blown away. I could not believe what I was seeing.
Like, so you didn't think like it was paying homage. You thought it was copying.
Completely. Okay. I mean, I'm like you, Roxy, where I'm scared to like talk about it because I'm like, shit.
No.
I was like, I can't say any words about planets and people because I'm going to spoil it. On top of that, it was the dialogue and screenplay were so dull. Like, there was no lines in this movie that you can quote.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
No lines.
Whatsoever. Really differently.
Yeah,
no,
I did
like
too.
Everything was so too. Dull to me, other than generic, like, pandering, you know, oh, this is, you know, this movie has heart, guys, by the way. The little robot that, like, that's not a spoiler that you guys have seen, super cute robot, totally, they even made that robot annoying. I don't
Dio.
Understand.
Oh, wow, Dio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm not as strong in, yeah. in the hate category. I felt like it was an enjoyable experience, but I feel like I didn't want an enjoyable experience. I wanted a film. Like, it's the ninth movie
but
in a saga.
But it wasn't a movie.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like, I had
Did you say it was cinema?
I'm glad to have seen it. Like, I wrote on my Instagram, like, Star Wars fans are going to have fun. I love people that had fun. I want it to be seen. I just don't want it to be the marker of success, because that's what I feel like will lead to the dark side, and the dark side being fan service. I want movies to challenge me. I want movies to grow a world, not subside it. I want movies to make progress, not be like, well, this is comfortable. It felt comfortable, and I hate comfort.
It was the safest Star Wars movie I've ever seen in my life.
Art isn't comfortable.
There's nothing that they did that was different to me. Like, I completely agree with Koi. And, I mean, somebody, I think it was our friend Scott Wampler at Birth Movies Death that tweeted, where is it? Rise of Skywalker feels like what would happen if, instead of writing an actual screenplay for a Star Wars movie, you went on Reddit and found a list of Episode 9 demands written by an unhinged lunatic and then just shot that instead.
I feel like it felt like somebody was paying attention to the fans and hearing what they wanted and making sure that they delivered.
But I'm a fan too.
I'm not saying you're not.
But so that's what I mean.
I'm just giving my opinion.
No, I just mean in the sense that like you're saying like they're pandering to a certain subset of fans, right?
No, I'm just saying I think that how they made this movie was right. They went, they tried to hear people, they tried to listen, mm-hmm. and yeah. then they tried to implement,
right.
and that worked for me.
Right.
So I thought that what's interesting you're saying about the quotability is, to me, this is maybe one of the most quotable Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
There were so many sound bites. So I'm surprised to hear you say that, because that was part of what I thought was them working towards marketability. I mean, there were specific moments where you could tell that this movie was like, we need to make a figure, or we need to like have words on a shirt. So this is what's going right here.
It has all
and
my that, favorite new
and
characters.
So I'm surprised.
I agree with that.
I'm surprised to hear you say that's not quotable, because to me, it was so quotable.
I agree that they were completely making a movie in order to sell merchandise. Yes, I completely agree with that. But that doesn't mean that
that's
lines.
That's not what I said.
But that I thought you said
shirts.
That your shirts.
You said there. I agree. They were completely making a movie to sell merchandise. Definitely did not say that.
I agree.
Shirts. The dialogue. She
yeah,
could see
like,
it
like the
appearing
quote,
on
the quote
a shirt.
In a shirt. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, I think that was the purpose. But the dialogue itself is one of the dullest dialogues I've seen in a Star Wars movie since the prequels.
So yeah, I didn't get it. I laughed my ass off. Yeah.
I did laugh.
And
though.
I don't think it's a spoiler to say, for me, one of my favorites was Poe. Poe had some lines.
I agree.
Some dialogue I totally agree.
Can we to keep it vague, but like they did some things with characters I love that felt really shoehorned,
And they felt very, like, safe. And so I wanted a steak dinner, and I got Denny's delivery. Like, right. I wanted sustenance, and I just got a calorie thing. Like, I just – I'm alive. And I think a lot of the choices they made were the safer choice, and I think that was a kickback because of Last Jedi. This whole thing felt like it was just like, well, the pendulum swung that way, so we're going to be over here now. Like, this felt like Trump versus Obama. Like, we had the bowl.
Totally.
Now we're going to go the other way and appease these kind
what
of fans.
What did you like about the movie?
I liked the humor. Mm-hmm. I liked the
– So the jokes worked for you.
Mm-hmm. To a point. Some of them. I liked the set pieces. Like, there were some very cool visuals. But I never felt any stakes in those visuals. So it was a lot of being like, oh, pretty. I liked the comfort. It felt like a warm blanket. I liked the comfortability. Mm-hmm. But that also was what I didn't like about it. So while I was in the experience, I was like, yay. And then I left and I was like, oh. Like, it felt like it felt so easy.
Darina, did you like anything about it?
I agree. I did laugh a lot. I was next to the Wangers. I was next to Cody and Christian Rubalcaba, and I was actually laughing with them. Like, I thought – it's not like – that's what I meant, that I didn't hate this movie. It just – there's no reason for me to see it again. Like, that's my thing. Like, I didn't hate it, and I didn't love – like, definitely didn't love it, but I had a lot of issues with it. I hated what they did with it. There was no – there was nothing new to me. They didn't. There was no need for this movie, and it kind of erases. Like, what was the point to me? Let me ask you a question.
No
since
spoilers.
You guys liked it, what was the point to me? Like, what was the point, or do you guys think there's any point in this movie existing or this trilogy existing?
Totally.
Because
yes,
I don't see any difference between this and the original trilogy. I don't get what it's like. Any characters that we all kind of really like in this trilogy. The way that it ended, yes, it was like neatly wrapped in a bow for us, but there was no depth to it. There was nothing there for me.
To answer your question,
right.
Character arcs. I think that the way that people developed shows how people can grow, shrink, change, be better, be worse, and that's something that I'm so fascinated on focusing on.
Right.
Also, mm-hmm. I can't give the spoiler of what I feel like the true sentiment of the movie is,
right.
But what I feel like is the message of the movie,
right.
To me, is not the message of the original trilogy.
Yeah. What I felt like the message of Star Wars was 100% undermined by this movie.
Correct.
Hmm. Everything I believe in Star Wars is now gone.
Completely.
And that's what I mean by offended.
I don't get it. I don't
get
that.
But do you guys think it's also? I was wondering about this because you and Steph both loved it, right?
Steph Sabra,
right? And then and Mark, you know, you really enjoyed it as well.
I think you loved it also. Right?
Yeah, I loved it. The experience, but again, you know, I know you're not with me on this. Like stepping on the outside, I'm sitting back going, yeah. I don't disagree with you guys, but there is stuff that like affected me as a Star Wars fan that I cannot deny. So
I'm with you that it's flawed. There's a couple of moments, things that we saw in the trailer that when we watched in the movie, I was like, that didn't play well.
Right.
Things that fell flat, or there's one running thing that I didn't necessarily feel like paid off with. I don't want to give any more details.
Yeah,
than
it's
that,
really
but I
hard.
Was,
because
I was like, huh, that was an interesting choice. There were a couple things where I was like, I didn't prefer it,
mm-hmm.
but it's still, I was glad that JJ was able to make the movie that he wanted to make.
Do you think that though? Because I feel like this movie, after I saw it, I felt like Lucasfilm hired JJ to be like, please help us try to fix fandom and make the safest movie possible, and JJ delivered. That's how I feel about it. I don't know if this is a movie he actually wanted to make, but it's definitely the movie he was hired to make.
I think it's the most
J.J. Abrams movie you've ever seen.
I think he set,
See, I feel
I think
like
he
J.
set
Abrams,
this movie up perfectly, and then he delivered this
he,
is
he
his
did,
movie.
And it's,
yeah.
On that, it is the most Star Wars movie I've ever seen.
Oof,
it to me is...
It was everything that I have grown up with. Now, there are people that Star Wars has changed so dramatically within the fandom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the movies have inherently changed. They've all had the central themes, and if these are – people are going to kill me, but they are kids' movies. They are kids' movies. And
well,
it was something
kids.
That
yeah,
we
but there's
adults.
Good
yeah,
kids'
unruly...
movies. Paddington 2 is a great kids' movie.
Correct.
So is...
But it's how you interpret how you feel. Star Wars has always been feelings
and
for me.
And it made me feel nothing.
There.
Coy, question for you.
I can't deny your feelings.
Right.
And that's where we are getting into now.
I can deny your feelings.
Yeah.
F your feelings.
But we are getting into this discourse that it's only going to get worse, guys.
Before your question, JJ, to me, makes Mission Impossible 3 different than Mission Impossible 1 and 2. He makes Star Trek into a new thing. To me, this isn't JJ, because to me, this was I also thought that this felt like the two movies JJ wanted to make, not one. To me, like, the first 30 minutes are like, we got to make 8! And then he made 9. So the whole time I was like, okay, that was his goal! And, like, I just felt, like, really, like, inundated with, like, I understand what the trilogy was for you, but what is happening?
That's
like,
interesting, because I saw a lot of people tweet about the first 20 minutes, and so I went in thinking, like, uh-oh, about the first 20 minutes, and then I saw them, I was like, these are awesome.
It had more jump cuts than Rocket Man.
And, like, I don't know about that.
It was just happening.
I was in it, and I was like, yeah, give it to me. Fast.
But do you mean just you had fun with the action sequences, basically?
Because I think it set the rest of the movie up well.
Man, because by the way, because I don't want to just be negative, like, I did find it funny. I think there's a lot of really good moments, and there's a few moments that made me feel like the crew, like the main three, you know, like Poe, Rey, Finn, they all felt like my original, like, Luke, Leia, Han. Like, there was definitely moments there that was like, oh, there it is. There was like hinges, like there was like, what's the word? There's like a
hints?
Little hints of the original trilogy of what that was for me, but the rest of it was just forced, and it was pandering, and it was like they did some things in these movies without spoiling that I was like, wow, this is just like they literally went into Reddit and read the comments, and they're like, we need to add all of this stuff to the movie to please fans.
It also it's the first time I felt the Disney influence. I think there was a thing that happened to two of the characters that I felt was just like, oh, let's make it okay for people in states that don't believe in this sort of thing to feel okay about it, and like that definitely it felt like they were undermining for safety a lot. And I want to talk about that off camera because there were some choices
people have been tweeting about that, and that was also something that they had announced prior to the movie.
But the main thing I want to say, I thought it was the thing I enjoyed. There were two characters in this that are amongst my favorite Star Wars characters.
Anything I say, you go no.
I want to give credit. I want to give positivity. There's a character in this that is maybe my favorite new trilogy character.
Okay,
and he is like an amazing little drunk. I don't want to give anything away, but he's fantastic.
Can I say the name?
I
love him.
He's amazing.
He's the only thing I loved.
And
Babu Freak.
I love. There is a character.
Hi, Dorian.
Hi, Dorian. How's it going there?
There's my jacket.
Yeah.
It's not mine.
There's also one of my favorite female characters in all of Star Wars in this film.
Same.
She's least favorite, you said?
Favorite. Oh. Like, one of the characters in this film just shows up like a wrecking ball. She came in like a wrecking ball.
Yeah. I had an issue. I didn't love...
Oh, I loved her.
No, she was great.
Are we talking about the same person, though?
Yeah, that's
we
the
don't
question.
Know. Spoilers.
Daft Punk?
The Daft Punk lady is what I was going
to
say.
Is that safe? I'm like, is that a non-spoiler way to say she was amazing?
I liked her, too.
I had an issue with... Well, that's a spoiler.
I was trying to say
positive things, though, and that's one of them. Babu Freak is my favorite character in this movie. I want to see just those scenes with him because he's amazing. He is my favorite little drunk mini character in this movie. But
I have a question for you guys.
What?
If this was the original trilogy, if Star Wars started at episode 7 and this was the third Star Wars movie ever made, do you think you would have liked it more?
I don't think 7 can exist because it's a remake.
I just mean if this felt like it had hit similar notes. Do you think you would have preferred it if you had felt it was more – if this was the first time you were seeing some of those notes, or you just didn't like the story?
I just thought it was boring. That's my problem is like halfway through the movie, I'm like there's nothing happening that's interesting to me except for these gorgeous lightsaber battle sequences. Those were so pretty that I was like, well, at least I can look at that. But story-wise, I was just bored.
I think I'd like it more because I wouldn't be invested, and therefore all the things that I believe in Star Wars, I wouldn't mind them being as undermined because I wouldn't have 27 years of loving them. So
I think it's an impossible question to answer.
Right.
But I'm just curious if it was the lack of originality that's really putting you guys over the
edge. I think it's my opinion on what the movies represent being undermined, so I wouldn't have had a strong conviction for it because I wouldn't have grown up in them.
Okay. This movie currently stands at a 56% on Rotten Tomatoes. And after feeling the room yesterday and feeling the room here, I'm not surprised by that. But how I feel about the movie is making me feel surprised by that.
Now, Roxy, did you end up, compared to the rest of the new movies, where does this rank for you now?
So, for me, Force Awakens is definitely my least favorite of 7, 8, and 9. I don't know, because I've seen Last Jedi so many times,
right,
and I've seen this once, so I don't know which one is my favorite between the two of the new movies.
But you really like them both.
I love them both.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, I love them both, which is funny because I'm finding a lot of people similar to you, Koi, are not love. If you love The Last Jedi, you're not loving this. And that part I kind of understand.
It's not hitting me like that.
But it's not hitting me like that.
But you guys understand because, it, like we mentioned earlier, it does kind of erase a lot of the stuff
I didn't feel that way at all. But that I do see how somebody could feel.
Right. I very much look forward to spoiler version of this because there are a lot of things that are specific to that that I want to discuss.
It's impossible to talk about right now. It's impossible without referencing the things in Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and then the spoilers that kind of, for me, kind of wrapped it up. Last Jedi, I love. It's my favorite of all of them. I don't know how I feel about where I would rank this right now because, as I mentioned yesterday, it's impossible for me to... There is a lot to unpack in this movie, and it's going to be weeks, months before I know where it's going to land within this trilogy for me. I would say my gut, the way I feel right now, is that it's the third favorite for me. It might end up there, but I cannot wait to see it again because I think there are connections. A lot of people who do not like The Last Jedi, I feel, will like this. A lot of people that love The Last Jedi, I still think will like this, but I understand some people saying, I was standing with somebody that said to Scott Wampler's review, it's very similar, and also to it undid things from The Last Jedi, which I don't necessarily agree with. In fact, I thought things were paid off, and there's certain things that I loved about the characters in Last Jedi that I got a yes with this movie.
I don't feel this way about you guys at all, so please don't take this as a shot. But I think a lot of people want to dislike this movie, and I think that the critic score is going to be pretty similar to the audience score
because of that.
Because I think a lot of people have made up their mind about this movie.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The amount of people on the internet who said this movie sucks, and when I asked them if they've seen it, said no.
Thank you. I went down that rabbit hole.
Are you serious?
Is unbelievable.
It's unreal last night.
And you cannot say a movie sucks if you do not see it.
Of course not.
So
that's just like an actual fact. Yeah. You cannot say something sucks when you have not seen it.
But that's our current fandom. I feel like with all of these big franchises, most people have already chosen a side. Like the marketing for this movie is choose a side.
I went down that rabbit hole last night.
Which is insane to me because that's not what it was.
Can we talk about the marketing, right?
Yes.
So marketing safe, no spoilers. Choose a side completely negates what I believe Star Wars represents.
Yes.
To me, choose a side is literally draw a line. Choose a side implies you can be a Sith on purpose.
Exactly.
And to me, growing up, we knew the Siths were bad. They were modeled after Nazis. Just because we have Nazis in real life doesn't mean we should let that be acceptable.
Yep.
But that's why you need to choose a side.
But that allows the fandom to be like, I'm a Sith.
Exactly.
Like, that allows for that. Like,
the whole point is that you should never be on the dark side.
Guys, it's always going to be a choice. In life, there's never going to not be a choice to be a Nazi.
Darth Vader was one of the most popular characters with kids.
But people are choosing a side. Kids are choosing to be Darth Vader just because they like the character, right? Which is fine. Like I grew up liking the Joker. That's not the conversation.
That's life.
We're more
that's
so talking about the philosophical, everything. Like, actual philosophical themes in the original Star Wars mythology. To me, it's not about choosing.
When I was young, like every kid wanted to be the bad guy. But then you grow out of that.
That's what the entire series is about.
Now it's become that, but it wasn't about that before.
I do feel like it was about that.
No,
you don't think it was about whether you were part of the which side you were on?
No,
you don't feel that way with Vader and Luke and Leia. You don't think it was about choosing a side and Vader ultimately choosing a side?
I don't think there is a side. Exactly,
choosing goodness, which is a side.
But choosing goodness is the answer. That's not a question. It's a period, not a question.
That's Han Solo's inherent choice.
It is a question. Think about society. This movie, this trilogy changed with the times. This is the way it is now. We can only deal with what is. The truth of the matter is there is evil on this planet. There is. And you don't want to be a part of it.
But the problem
with
that,
even when evil is taking over,
but the problem with that is that then you're simplifying things.
We're saying it's there.
But the problem is that you're simplifying things. And here's the thing. Yes, there is a very clear side when it comes to good versus evil. But the problem is that especially in this political climate, you're having a bunch of there's gray to both sides, right? There isn't an evil and good side. Like, it's not like liberals versus conservatives. Does that make sense? It's not choose a side
and there is no middle ground. There is no gray. They're not saying choose a side and all good are great and all evil are horrible and there's nowhere in between. Choose a side.
I don't know. Do you see what I'm saying?
I hear you.
I see all perspectives here. I just, without giving away spoilers,
exactly.
I have
that's
a hard
what's
time
hard
like,
to talk
landing
about
on
it.
This.
Yeah.
That said,
we'll have to do a spoiler
C plus. It was my final. Like, I felt like it was above average, but it wasn't what I needed it to be.
I'm
so
shocked
therefore,
you think it's that high.
Yeah, I mean, like,
based
I
on well, your the plus review. Is for
yeah,
Babu
that
Freak.
Is high for me.
The
yeah.
problem, the problem is like I am inherently a positive person, and I feel like this is the first time I need to speak out about negative because I feel like me only being positive is how we got here.
Yes.
Like, I think me being someone that's like, yes, this is good, yes, this is good, is how we ended up with a very, very mediocre taste like ice cream, but I wanted like a real sustenance.
I don't think so because it wasn't the people who thought Rian Johnson's movie was good how we got here. It's the people who thought Rian Johnson's movie
but they
was
were
bad
louder.
How
the
they got here.
The people that wanted it to be easy and be simple were louder than the people that liked
yes.
to be challenged.
Right.
I will now be louder about liking to be challenged.
But if you had been louder about it being good, I don't think that what you think happened happened.
But we also – but here's the thing to add to this is that we've also seen – and we've talked about it on the show, just talking about film criticism in general. Like I try to be positive and I try not to like actually, you know – crap on stuff just for the sake of crapping, but I do think it's important to do have some sort of like, okay, it's okay to say I dislike this for these reasons. And I think that for me and possibly you, Coy, we're just worried about art becoming non-challenging, mm-hmm. right? Because we want our art to the art that we love to challenge us. That's how we deal with all our problems. It's like
I wouldn't
the
be
human
too
condition.
Worried because I think 2019, and you've agreed with this, Dreen, I don't know how you feel, Coy, but it was one of the best movies years for movies.
Oh,
yeah,
but people aren't yeah. watching those, right? People are watching Star Wars.
Ford Ferrari
and
well,
I think
and
a
like,
lot
I
of
think
people.
There's so
Peanut
many conversations.
Peanut Butter Falcon got expanded. Honey Boy got expanded.
Yeah,
like
okay,
I think
people are
I think,
watching them.
I think the perception is they're not watching them. I think the right. perception is mid-range film is dead. But if you actually look
Joker,
at what's in theaters, you're like,
Joker broke $1 billion,
but some people hated it.
But it did work,
of course. But that's not the point. People are seeing it.
Annapurna and A20, like more movies are getting made than people aren't considering. And then when you actually look at the theater, it's not just blockbusters. If you
okay,
actually
good.
Look, and I think the conversation is just on the bigger things. So I'm trying to bring awareness to critique, like you're saying. I still want people to see this. This is just my feeling. Like these
yeah.
are the things I disliked. Go see the movie. Form
yeah,
your opinion.
Yeah, of course.
Cody,
and
I
that's
think
always
I...
the case. You should always go see a movie and have an opinion after you see the movie.
Cody, I think I know the answer to this, but any final thoughts?
Well, I found a tweet that pretty much sums it up. This is from Emma Stefanski. Says, watching The Rise of Skywalker is like telling an acquaintance you ate potato salad once and enjoyed it, and then having that acquaintance break into your home in the middle of the night, tie you to a chair, and mash potato salad into your face and eyes for 2+ hours.
Yep.
That's what kind of what it felt like.
I
wow.
liked, I favorited that tweet because I agree. Yes.
Yikes.
That's
exactly how
wow.
I felt.
It's like taking things that you enjoy, just keep...
I'm so
just keep shoving
really,
it in until you fucking like it and cry.
I'm really bummed for... I'm really bummed for this fandom and for this movie and for the actors and the artists that worked on it, because I think it's going to be a long road ahead now.
It is,
which is not anybody's fault.
No,
it sucks. It sucks.
We're at a place. There is so much to. This is going to be a movie we study in film school, and I believe not for the merits of the filmmaking and craft, but I'm saying study the development process, the fandom, how studio movies are made now,
it's
how
effect on
how
society.
Effect on society. I see it, and it bums me out because I just am walking out of that with the feeling in place, and I can critique it, and I will, and I will get there. But right now, it's a shining example of fandom right now. I think at its worst.
Yeah.
Because
people are talking about it.
Well, not just that.
Last night, I went down like you, Roxy. People have not seen this movie. They decided to actually find the leaks, find the spoilers, put them on their Twitter feeds, critique, review, say, I told you. This is why this is why Lucasfilm sucks. This is why Kathleen Kennedy sucks. They are not seeing this movie. They are instead ripping this movie to shreds without seeing it, and I find that ridiculous.
I think we do need to move on because we want to talk Mandalorian.
I do have a final question, though.
Okay.
Because, so I am not a fan of the prequels, as you guys know, but I feel like the prequels had a plan from beginning to end. And I don't feel like this trilogy did that. I don't know if they had a plan and they scratched it because of the response to Last Jedi. But
I think we do know.
I think we do know that.
But do you guys feel like that's the case? And that's why fandom is affecting movies in a negative way?
No, I think not all of life has a plan, dude. Like I think that they had a plan. That plan changed. They got new creators in there. Then they didn't necessarily like that direction. They went in a different direction. I'm sure that a lot of people are going to say that this trilogy suffered because of that. For me, we had different artists have a touch on it, and I don't think that's why the fandom's been crazy.
They had a plan in this. They had a plan of hiring voices in your J.J. Abrams, Rian Johnson, and Colin Trevorrow. And that was set, and they were going to bring us a new trilogy. And halfway through that, they changed course. because they got rid of Colin Trevorrow for creative differences and whatnot. But this was all coming on the heels of a Last Jedi that polarized that audience and actually did something different in the genre. People were saying, oh, this is just a remake in Force Awakens, and we literally get something completely different in our Star Wars with The Last Jedi, and then it changed. And there was so much that changed. There was so much upheaval. During all of that, Lord and Miller was fired. Colin Trevorrow was fired. J.J. Abrams was brought back. I've heard so many different rumors about it. I know I'll get into it more in detail with Mark Fernandez. This is what we do on Rule of Two. And I think they made the best of it. And the results may vary with you. And you see two people right here that I know is going to be a very similar reaction out there. But I know we are representing a feeling of Star Wars that we appreciated.
And I enjoyed the feeling. That's what I want to get across.
I get it.
I think we're two sides of the same coin. We both, I'm like, I'm really glad I was there. I had a lot of fun during it.
It is gray, to your point, Dorina. I don't think there is a black and white conversation to be made with this movie. I think it is gray. I think some people are going to love it. Some people are not. Some people are going to come on the outside like maybe me sometimes. Like, oh, I see where you're going and what you mean. But it is a gray conversation to have within the Star Wars universe. It's fascinating to me, though.
I know. Mine is not about a feeling. I think it's a good movie.
Okay.
So I also had the feeling, but that's not I think it's a good movie.
And then that's what I think the difference in yours and my perspective is you are able to remove your feeling and say good. I'm able to remove my feeling and say experience good, movie bad.
I'm feeling because
I had fun during a movie that I wish it was way better.
Right. And that's what's hard is expectations, and that's what's hard about a ninth film in a series. Well,
I had low expectations. That's why I'm shocked.
You went in and you said before we walked in that you really didn't think you were going to like the movie.
I didn't say that. I said that I usually go into these movies with low expectations because I know I'm not going to like them as much as the original trilogy. And so I'm okay with that. I just want to enjoy it. Just like I did enjoy a lot of parts of The Last Jedi, and I didn't enjoy a lot of parts of The Last Jedi.
To your question about reshaping the universe, the two things I'd bring up are, one, they got Spider-Man at the last minute in Civil War, and that completely changed it. And they were able to land that and change the entire Phase 3. Right. And the other is DC is able to – they were building this thing, and then they decided to not build it the way they were going. And then Shazam was brilliant. Joker made $1 billion and was brilliant. So I think there is time. Things change all the time. Yeah, you don't have an arc, and so I don't think that was the problem with this. I think it was the polarizing nature of the middle of that sandwich. Mm-hmm. Like the bread stayed the same, but the middle was such a different meat that you're like, what am I eating?
Right.
A lot of food metaphors today. I'm very hungry.
Yeah, me too.
I'm hungry.
Denny's
too.
Delivery.
I could go for.
Should we Postmates from your phone and see if we cancel it?
Let's talk Mandalorian. I know that you've been watching the series, but you haven't seen chapter seven. I think a lot of people probably have not seen chapter seven because it came out. On a random day?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Literally last night, right?
Yeah, it came out on Wednesday morning, Tuesday night.
Yeah.
What day are we on today?
Yeah. Right?
Not Friday. but I think that because of that, obviously we'll keep it spoiler free. We're talking Mandalorian Chapter 7. I have gotten a lot of questions from fans about how much tie-in there is from Mandalorian to Rise of Skywalker. I just think it's interesting that people are thinking that going into this, that now Star Wars has broken out into doing live action TV shows, so people are wondering that question, which mm-hmm. I'm not going to answer, but it's an interesting question that people have.
Do you think that's an MCU thing?
Yes.
Maybe. Like training people's brains to think that things are connected and they should be watching all that?
I think it's just interesting that seemed to be the number one question I was getting is there a crossover with Mandalorian, which I was like, huh, interesting. Interesting that people are wondering that. In general, what did you guys think about this episode, Chapter 7, Mark?
I loved this episode. This episode is going to get people that were, including myself, that we felt that there was not a much plot movement, kind of placeholder episodes that I've kind of heard some of the discussion that I feel as well as like that, especially two episodes ago where it's like, I'm not sure. We get back to the driving plot, the through line of this series, and it did not disappoint. It's exactly what I wanted to see. I kind of figured we would get to this place. And there were some surprises in within there with some characters. But, man, I can't wait for the next episode. And this is one of the best. Deborah Chow, the director.
She's excellent.
Who also did one of my favorites in episode 3, is directing the Obi-Wan series. Mm-hmm. And I think that should get everybody very excited.
And she's
is
doing
crushing.
It in its entirety, right?
As of now, the reports are saying that she's directing the series, or at least 6 episodes I've heard. But
she's also
I can't say if it's confirmed or not.
First Asian woman to be working on Star Wars or directing Star Wars, I believe.
First woman.
And
period.
First woman and first person of Asian descent as well, maybe?
I would say all the correct. Yeah, she is crushing. Maybe. She is crushing it. This is something to get excited about. This is one of those episodes that I really just enjoyed the hell of. It might be my favorite right now. To three.
Okay.
Yeah.
D,
yeah.
How
but,
are you feeling?
But yeah, I can't go there. Sorry, that would be a spoiler.
No.
I saw your no. That's why it stopped.
I couldn't not watch this episode without thinking of the movie we saw yesterday. So it was hard for me.
No, really?
So, I feel similarly, and that is not a spoiler about whether or not there's a tie-in. I was in such a Star Wars-y place.
Yeah, and especially because it's because of my feelings about the whole franchise in general and how it's changed so much from when I was a kid, which is fine. It's like people like it. I really don't like. Good for you. Oh, good for you. Right. But in general, like I can also separate my feelings and say that's a good director. You know, I look forward to what this woman does in the future, and I'll watch anything as long as they don't make her, you know, pander to the fans. But that's my thing. Yeah,
I thought that the episode I was having a hard time separating it also. And I thought that the episode would have been better served had I not just seen Star Wars Episode 9. Only because that to me was so amazing and so epic. And then as much as I love television, I think that the episode was good. But coming back, I was like
– not as epic?
Different, you know? But that's what it is. That's the point of the show.
I haven't seen the show, but you just reminded me of a very magical thing about Episode 9. The worlds were all dope, and I was really happy with the settings, and I was really happy with how lush and big it felt. And there were times in The Last Jedi it didn't feel – there were set pieces that felt huge in The Last Jedi, but this movie felt bigger, and I really enjoyed the scope of the set pieces and the environments without spoilers.
I agree. Sorry to interrupt. It looked cool.
Stick with Mandalorian for a second. I like this episode. We got a little more time with it. It was closer to the 40-minute mark than the 30-minute mark. Mm-hmm. And so I like spending time with these characters. I just still think Baby Yoda for the win, dude. Like, I don't think that this series would be even close to the same if that was a different species. Like,
no. I agree
with
that.
Unless it was Babu Freak.
Could be.
Awesome. Yeah. Like
I don't think anything compares to Baby Yoda.
The implications of Baby Yoda opens up the mythology of what we know with not only the Force but that species.
I have so many questions.
I know, and this is the episode that we're finally not getting answers. I won't say that because also spoiler.
Wait,
but
learning more.
We're learning more. We're finally getting there, and it feels like it's really setting up. At least in my opinion, we are going to get a setup for season two.
Baby Yoda is, for me, what I believe the Star Wars credo to be. And that is the thing that I felt 9 didn't have. So for me, I'm enjoying Mandalorian because it gives me all of the hope for the future of Star Wars that I felt I lost. So I haven't seen 7 yet, but when I think about Star Wars right now, I'm like, but I see a new hope through The Mandalorian, because that to me is what Star Wars is. So through Baby Yoda, that expansion, that growth in universe, the galaxy far, far away is growing through this friggin' dope creature. Yeah. So I love that character. I agree.
I also think that Chapter 7 was strong because it ties in to other episodes more so than we have seen previously.
Right. Yes. Especially because is that because every other episode has been more like, okay, I get what this episode was, but how does that connect to the other ones, or what is happening in the story in the future? And this did that more.
The show is getting a lot of slack for being so episodic right now, which I think is silly because I think that's how they presented it. So if you don't like that, then it's not the show for you.
Right.
But I think that this one showed that it's not a procedural.
Yeah.
There is connection and through line.
Came back around, and that's what I appreciated. Yeah, and that's why I went back to think about those episodes and go, I see what they were doing. Some of the execution for me lacked, but we got this payoff in this episode and enjoyed the hell out of it, like I said. But I think that there is bigger things that are happening in this world that this episode really put its finger on that I think is going to make Star Wars fans very, very excited.
Because there is a world outside of Star Wars, guys. I know it's hard to see it right now, but if you squint your left eye and you like stare really hard, you can see an entertainment world that doesn't include Star Wars right now.
Watchmen?
We love Watchmen.
Let's talk about good stuff. Let's talk about Watchmen.
I mean, Watchmen
just talking about good stuff.
I love
Mandalorian. I actually do like Mandalorian.
Mark, what else is going on in the world of the news? We will be taking calls in a little bit, but let's talk
Non-Star Wars news. How about another franchise? We did get our first recognizable character casting in the Lord of the Rings series. We have young Galadriel has been cast. you know, who was played by Cate Blanchett. The role now goes to, I'm going to try to pronounce this, Morfydd Clark from His Dark Materials. This is according to Variety. It's the
Cody,
major,
can you pull up Morfydd Clark for me, please?
The major cool recognizable name. Role for the – she is a young Gladriel, so we are going to go back in time, which is, I think, nice. It actually plays to plot, so it gives us something that we can chew on right now about what this series might be about.
Does anybody feel a particular attachment to this cool this series?
Not after watching The Rise of Skywalker yesterday.
Man, it's just really got you in a dark place.
Doesn't make you feel an attachment to Lord of the Rings?
It's just any big franchise that's being rebooted.
I can understand.
I am fascinated by how Amazon is doing their entire business model. So I'm really excited to see. I loved The Boys. I thought The Boys was one of the best superhero shows.
Yes.
Oh, so
and
good.
Basically, the power of Amazon is it's already so wealthy that all of its shows can fail and it won't even dent their money, which is terrifying. But also, I like the idea that they can spend $100 million on something and I can be like, ooh, look shiny. And I won't feel guilty about, like, me watching it casually. Like,
yeah.
I don't need
Are
to
Are you watching
it.
Maisel this
Maisel's
season?
Maisel's my shit.
Are you caught up?
Yeah. Oh, I watched it in 2 days.
No, I'm only on episode 6 right now. It's so
Sterling
good.
Sterling K. Brown.
Yo, Sterling K. Brown.
Sterling K. Brown should literally
Sterling
be in every
K. Brown
possible.
Be in every really
like,
possible.
And when I knew he was in this season, I was like, oh no, now it's my most anticipated show of the winter. And then it didn't disappoint. So Marvelous
so
Mrs.
Good.
Maisel, and that show couldn't exist on another network. Like the Expanse. Yeah. So for me, I'm excited because of the network, and I'm excited because I want to see how much money can go into a Lord of the Rings. And it's not like freaking Jeff's hurting, so let's use some of that money.
I like that you're on a first name basis, you know, with him.
Papa Jeff Bezos.
Jeff is not hurting.
He's not
hurting. Okay.
Throw that Lord of the Rings money.
He doesn't pay taxes.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So if you're going to like screw over the American public, make some good content.
Yeah, exactly.
We also did get a couple new trailers or teasers. What's going on in the world of teaser trailer?
Well, we have a Quiet Place, Parth.
Parth.
So part two,
I saw it and it said at the end,
sure looked
Quiet
like
Place,
Parth.
And then behind it, it says Parth. So I turned to my amazing Schmodown player, Jeff Snyder, and I said, Snyder, what's Parth? What's Parth? And he was like, what? And I was like, A Quiet Place, Parth.
It's
how my guys. Is this residuals from the cat screening
the
yesterday?
The font looks a little off.
But no, okay, it's not here. If you click on the
actual
teaser.
No, it's in
teaser,
the trailer. It's in
it,
the
like,
trailer
goes behind it,
yeah.
And it looks like it says Parth, man. It's in the last few seconds. It says Parth. I'm telling you guys. Look at this. Yeah, right there. Behind there. Parth.
I totally see it. Oh,
you get what
so
I'm
good.
Saying?
Yes, I totally see it.
Now, so it's not as crazy as you guys thought.
Really
no,
good.
I thought
Parth
it was
two.
Crazier. Yeah.
So,
Parth.
Because I was thinking, I was like, I know Perth.
Well, that's what I'm calling
Where's
this.
They
Parth?
Go to Australia. It's very quiet. Yeah. Quiet place, Parth.
If I need to go somewhere quiet, probably the, you know, they would have already gotten all of the wildlife there.
I like that it's an anthology place. Series where there's just different continents of quiet place. Like, oh, let's go to Perth. Let's
just, when you need to escape yelling fandoms, that's where you go.
Yeah,
you go to Perth.
Western Australia.
I'm going to go somewhere for sure.
For legal purposes, they weren't allowed to call it Perth, so they...
yeah, they're like Parth.
Perth was like, we don't
reality.
Want this kind of press. I don't
that's
know.
Definitely what I'm calling this movie from now on.
How are you guys feeling about A Quiet Place 2?
I can't wait. Are you kidding
me?
I love that John Krasinski came back because originally he was like, yeah, my blessing. Go do a sequel. You know what? I'll write
it. It's my
baby. I'll write it. Don't worry about it. But you can get another director. You know what? I love the idea that I wrote down. I'm going to direct this thing. So I think he is passionate about this, which led to the first one being so great. So my horror – ever-loving heart
I have a,
into this.
John Krasinski, to me, it's funny because I only watched The Office this year.
Oh,
so to me, John Krasinski is an action star. So, like, because I watched that Michael Bay movie first, and that's where I saw him for the first time.
Jack Ryan.
And then I watched Jack Ryan after, where he's continuing that same role. And then he was in this, and I was like, this guy's such a badass. Then I was watching The Office, I was like, what a strange choice.
It's Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also, Nick Offerman, I discovered him through his books, and then I watched Parks and Rec.
Mm.
Like, I was reading Nick Offerman's books, and then I was like, this guy talks about this show. So I watched Parks and Rec and The Office. So I'm really excited for A Quiet Place 2 because now I've discovered Jim. So I'm curious what it's like now that I'm watching it through the guise of Jim directing it.
Right.
Mm.
And I love the first one. I think it's one of the best horror movies in 10 years.
I agree with everything you just said. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, across the board. I'm so excited for this. Especially, Riley, what you're talking about, that he wasn't going to come back until it was like, he was like, oh, actually, I want to do this.
Yeah, when that happens, then there's something that he's needing to get out, and that's can only benefit the audience.
And speaking of Get Out, it's like a Jordan Peele thing to me, where it's like, oh, this is a new director that's just that we discovered that it's apparently can make a great horror movie, and that's so nice. So
it is nice.
I mean, because there are the as much as horror, the genre in general has changed or evolved the last few years, and we have great horror that I guess you didn't like as much with Midsommar that I loved, but with these kind of fun movies, I feel like we were missing a really fun horror movie, and I feel like that's what A Quiet Place was to me.
Yeah. This is another great example of mid to low budget film doing well.
Yeah,
like these exist, and it's so funny when we look
especially
at the end of
in the horror
list,
department.
The horror
genre—it's killing it right
now. It's made for that. That's like, that's the star of the show is the concept.
Yeah. It brings back such good memories.
No.
All alone in the moonlight. Cody, we're gonna go to break now. Drunk on a mountain in a hot tub.
Horseman!
Hey, Alex.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, Ben.
Fucking Frank.
You're all breathtaking.
I don't feel so good. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Sir, please.
Justin Timberlake, that's right.
Justin Timberlake.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
She's the one in the cute panties. That's right. How could you forget
that? Yeah.
That's right.
Easy.
No offense, no offense, no offense, no offense. I just remember they said Stanford. That's all I remember. I'm not really known for my smarts.
found no one's memory.
Oh, God.
I know,
this has been going on for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm so upset the embargo for Cats is not up until 4 p.m. because I have so many things to tell you guys.
So many.
Can you say that Idris Elba was great?
I can say he was perfect.
Yes. Was he perfect? Was he the cat's meow?
Oh, hanging fruit.
Guys, perfect. So many things to say. Let's open up those phone lines, though, because I'm sure you guys have not been able to be in the live chat, which means you guys have thoughts and questions. If somebody calls in and gives a Star Wars spoiler, you will be banned from the show forever. You will be hunted down. Yeah. Darina will come and rip out your eyelashes one by one.
Ooh,
and then feed them to your dog. Yeah, we know how much dogs like to eat eyelashes.
And if you don't have a dog, we bring the dog.
We're
much less
friendly. Dog, and if we bring the dog, there's going to be a fisting situation.
Back to fisting.
But not the sexy way.
I don't know there is a sexy way of fisting.
For some people, Roxy.
Really that's fine. I think that's a caller that we have, or are you just screaming?
No, just reacting to the fisting.
That's fair. That's how I imagine one would react,
Cody,
especially without preparation.
Exactly, especially with that loop.
Cody, do you like it when Alex is not here and then I keep making you look things up on the computer while you're doing your job?
It's an extra thing I got to do, but I understand it's the show. It's
all
right.
Do you love that aspect of it? I realized today I've been like, Cody, look at – Cody, can you grab –
Hey, Cody, you look at my Twitter. Hey, Cody, can you look at my text?
The amount of times I ask Cody look at my Twitter is too many. Too many times.
Well, now he has your number.
I should just have it on another tab at all times.
Just keep it up. Just have
Cody,
it on
Cody, can you have it on another tab
whatever
so we can just
– we think of these
that's
movies.
That's what he just said.
I have to say, whatever we
Thank
think
you.
Of these movies, I had such a blast – hang out with you guys yesterday. Being
I did
at
have
the
fun with you guys.
We did a double header yesterday that was made for a princess.
It really was.
It was.
I love all of you going to it and you're like, you coming, right? I'm like, no.
Do you guys understand for the Cats screening? I just want to be clear what they did for a press screening. This is not a premiere. For the press screening for Cats, free booze.
What?
Yep.
Cat ears for everybody.
Champagne.
And mixed drinks.
Oh, wait. I had no idea about this.
We got cat ears
for everyone.
This makes perfect sense.
They gave tattoos out for all of the people. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to be clear about the things surrounding how they sent people in. Free popcorn,
yep.
A free additional soda or beverage.
This is how you make
multiple free drinks.
I accept bribes everywhere, but at a press screening, I will accept all of your booze bribes. I mean, internet, please send me things.
Meowmoses.
Oh my God.
We had such a good time, didn't we?
Dude.
I was here all day not getting drunk with Cats.
Not talking about the movie, but the screening itself was an experience.
The screening was such a – this is how you do a screening,
yep.
Especially when you are not clear how the audience is going to react. Booze us up.
Yep. Yep, it was very enjoyable.
It's the same day as the Star Wars trailer, movie.
Cody, how do I know when you're doing a caller now?
What is
when
that?
You're making fun
is that
of
a goat?
That was a double one. That was,
the double.
We do have a call if you want to talk to the person, but that was also because booze.
Oh. All right, let's take the caller. Caller, you're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Andrew from Long Beach.
Andrew, happy to have you here. What do you got for us today?
I was wondering, have you guys watched the complete season of that show on Netflix, Living With Yourself?
Yes, I have. The Paul Rudd show.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else seen it?
No,
I've seen it. I didn't
Only the
it.
Pilot.
Yeah, I've seen some, not all.
I have seen the whole show. Have you seen it, Andrew?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I have a question, but it's kind of a spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen it.
I would stay away from spoilers because I don't think enough people have watched the show yet. How do you guys feel about that?
I think generally on the internet, it's where we're all working our way.
Yeah.
Can you ask a spoiler-free question?
We know enough from the trailer that it involves a clone.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's fair.
My question is, if there was a clone of your significant other and someone slept with that clone, is that considered cheating?
Great question, Andrew.
God, I love this question.
Great question. I will just say, appreciate the call, and I definitely love this show for exactly that reason. It proposes so many unique situations that make you think, how would I feel if that was happening? This being one of those. Yo, Darina, you get freaky. How you feel?
Considering I am in a non-traditional relationship and we don't really cheat on each other ever because we have an agreement.
What if it was a clone of you?
What?
That your husband was sleeping with.
What about it?
How would you feel?
I'd just be like, can I watch?
Yeah, I definitely want to watch.
Like, you don't want to not be part of it.
No, I'd, no, I'd be part of it too. But
unless
they
don't
first.
Want me to be part of it, but I would like to be invited.
I also I feel like it's not cheating because it's a separate cheating. Entity.
I it don't is. Think it's cheating.
It's a separate. If yeah. if this clone has free will, then
which I hope it does.
Which I hope it does. Then it's not cheating.
You don't think it's cheating?
Nope.
No. No.
Well, if you have an agreement, obviously not. But
I think even like if a staunch Catholic, it's a separate entity.
I think if my husband, which obviously I don't have, slept with anybody that was not me. And we had no agreement on that, then it's cheating. A clone of me is not me.
Right.
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 So, your
so,
point.
So, so if you guys don't have my agreement, then it is cheating because yes. because they're cheating on somebody else, even though.
Me. They're yeah, cheating on right, me. Right.
See, I was going from,
you,
the,
with,
from the idea
with me.
That.
Don't you
weird.
Cheat on me with me?
Exactly.
But what do you think if the clone is. If the clone is created, let's say there's a married couple and male or female clone of one of them is created. They can go off and do their own thing. The clone can, and that's not cheating. We're not identifying with that person as the
no,
same thing.
The clone
thing.
Can hook up with somebody else.
Sure.
But if your
if you're hooking up, then
hooks
yes,
up with your clone.
I tend to agree
I think
with
it's
that.
Cheating.
Yeah. Oh, you got to have a conversation.
That was the question. Then that, oh, the question.
I was confused by the
scenario.
Question. Yeah.
The person. I think what they're doing is laying out what happened on the show. Mm. So what I'm interpreting is the question is if Koi mm-hmm. has a clone, mm-hmm. Koi 2. So there's yeah. Koi 1 and Koi 2. Koi 1 has been married his whole life to Choi. And
the narcissism's real. I get
Koi
it.
Koi and Choi.
Choi.
I didn't know if you talk about your life on here, so I decided to use a fake name.
I appreciate the Choi.
Okay, yeah. So if Koi is married to Choi, and Koi 1 and Choi have been married, and then Koi 2 bangs Choi, mm-hmm. is Choi cheating on Koi 1 with Koi 2?
I would say if it's a traditional relationship, Choi would be cheating, but Koi 2 wouldn't be.
Yes.
And that was the confusion.
So,
like,
so Choi is cheating.
Right. I'm not mad at Koi, too.
No, you're
if
mad at Choi.
Choi and I have to talk. But in my case, I would be proud of both, and I'd want to watch. But, like, that's just me. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'd also want to join in because that'd be, like, Dr. Manhattan shit.
Exactly.
I got something for you, Dorino. This question
and
has been answered.
And is it masturbating if you hook up what? With a clone?
This has been answered in Multiplicity.
Multiplicity. Right? What a great movie.
If you hook up with been. Your clone, is it masturbating, though? Mm-hmm. Like, if I was a fuck me clone...
No, I don't
because
think so. I think even if you could fuck yourself, it's not masturbating.
Why?
But how
Isn't
do you?
Is that the definition of masturbating?
No, I think if you could like put your dick in your butt, that's not masturbating.
Koi, do we have a call?
I don't know.
No, I get it. Right, I get what you're saying.
Caller on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Collider Bingo is a real thing.
Hey, this is Sergio from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Sergio.
Sergio, happy to have you here. What do you got for us today?
I can't even believe I made it. Oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, Sergio,
yes,
you did it, baby.
Yeah, no, I just want to say thanks to all you guys. Like, I loved movies before, but this past year, you guys, like, took it on another level. I saw so many movies this past year that you guys recommended, and it was awesome. Like, I wouldn't even have even thought to have seen, like, half of these movies you guys even mentioned.
Sergio, what are a couple movies you saw this year that you probably wouldn't have otherwise seen?
Parasite, for one.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Jojo Rabbit is probably
yes.
my favorite of the year.
So good.
Excellent.
So
good. I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, and I don't know. I got kind of into John Carpenter because of you guys.
No way!
He's awesome too.
Yes, he's my
yeah,
favorite.
Yeah, you guys kept mentioning The Thing for so long, and I was it was like I never seen it. I'll watch it, and I was
yes.
blown away.
That is
so happy to hear that.
What an accomplishment for this show!
Way to go, Sergio. Do you have any question for us today?
My life has no meaning.
No, I don't really have. I just can't believe I even made it on. So I'm just really, I'm like flabbergasted.
We're really happy to have you. It sounds like you match up with Dorina's taste in movies quite often. Mark's too.
Yeah, and Riley too, I think.
Yeah, sounds it. That's awesome.
Yeah,
and I'm with you.
I love horror movies, and yeah, I've seen so many probably this year that you guys be meeting with talked about, so I just want to say thanks.
Let me see how much you really listen to what we recommend. Did you check out Life Itself last year? Do you care
no,
about
I
me
didn't
at all,
see
Sergio?
Life itself, but I know that
he
was
said this year.
Movie
he said
year,
this
right?
year.
I understand.
I said
understand.
This year because
it's fine,
yeah.
Sergio. It's fine. Fine. Did you watch Peanut Butter Falcon?
Yes, I did. That like I actually
go.
Made
this
a top
year.
10 list of this year, and that was on there. I
there
think I have
go.
Like 4 or 5.
Sergio.
That's what I've seen the most that's people a, say. It's yeah. they've seen Peanut Butter Falcon and Parasite because of us.
I think next up on your list, Life Itself.
Definitely Midsummer if you haven't seen it.
Watch This Is Us to apologize for Roxy.
Midsummer was awesome.
Wasn't it, Sergio? God, you have excellent taste.
Yeah, it was so good.
So good.
Oh, we love Sergio. Sergio, thank you so much for calling in. I'm so happy you were able to make it on the show.
You always look at me, and I just watched Parasite, and I'm with you. Parasite is one of the best movies of the year.
Mark,
what's
happening right now?
She always gives me shit for
Midsummer. I was doing the Roxy M&M.
Yeah.
And I am whatever you say I am.
Midsummer was great. Two-thirds of that movie was fantastic. It was.
The ending was fantastic.
The ending didn't work for me.
Whatever I say I am, if I wasn't, why would I say I am?
Go watch your Star Wars.
The news every day I am.
Well, maybe Midsummer should have just done the same thing they did on the original.
You are on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, guys. This is Luke calling from Chicago.
Hey, Luke.
Luke calling from Chicago. Happy to have you here. What do you got for us today?
Well, first off, Roxy, I want to say the ears are adorable.
Thank you so much. I got them at the cat screening.
So sad I lost mine.
Meow.
Free boys will do that.
I know.
Well, I just wanted to call in to talk about Star Wars.
Yes.
I have not seen the movie. I haven't seen any leaks or anything
Great.
Like that.
Good. Avoid. Yeah.
You seen it tomorrow?
I am seeing it tomorrow night, yes, with five of my friends.
Hell yeah.
So it'll be quite an enjoyable experience. But I just wanted to call in to talk about Star Wars and Star Wars fandom in general, especially after you guys seeing The Rise of Skywalker.
Yay.
As somebody who is somewhere of a cross between a casual fan and a hardcore fan of Star Wars, my sense is that where the fandom is right now, especially with this new trilogy, is I get the feeling that the majority, not all, but the majority of fandom of Star Wars has zero idea as to what they want from Star Wars moving forward, especially after the prequels. Like, we can look at the original trilogy and see that the majority of fans love it, obviously. With the prequels, the majority of fans hate it. And to me, it seems like the Star Wars fandom is so different from, let's say, the MCU fandom or the former or the old DCEU fandom, where you can say that the majority of the MCU fans love the movies. The majority of the DCEU fans did not like the old DCEU movies. I'm talking about Suicide Squad, Justice League, all of those. And that's where I think I am with observing what the Star Wars fandom is right now. Where
Luke, I totally hear you. Sorry to interrupt, but I think I get where you're going with this. And I totally hear you. However, I think what the inherent problem with what you're saying is that it's not the fans' job to actually figure out what they want. You don't have to know as a fan what you want from Star Wars. You have to go watch the movie. You're not working on it. You have to go watch the movie and decide if you like it or not. That's literally what it is to be a fan. And I think that the problem is when fans know too much what they want, that if they do not get what they want, they dislike the movie because somebody else had a different vision than them. So I think that happens not just with Star Wars, but the same thing, DC, Marvel, Lord of the Rings, all the major franchises. I think fans should less think about what they want, go into movies more open-minded, and see if they like what's presented to them or not.
Oh, no, I completely agree with you, Roxy. Absolutely. Everybody should have their own opinion, what they like, what they don't like. I respect what you say, Roxy, Riley, Coy, Darina, especially with Rise of Skywalker and Cody as well. I absolutely respect it, and I love hearing the different sides. I just think that, yes, you decide how you feel about it, but it's also where, like, if you want to love something so much because you're such a fan of it, I think you have to be realistic as to what it is that you want from it. Like, do you want something different, or do you want something that harkens back to what you loved before? And yeah, I just see that as where the fans are right now. And it's just very interesting, especially with what do fans want moving forward with Star Wars? Do they want something that goes back to the Old Republic? Do they want to see more of the Sith and the Jedi? Do they want something like we see in The Mandalorian? What is it that the majority wants?
Thank you for the question, Luke. Appreciate it. Darina, what do you – Luke,
so
you rock. What do you think?
Luke.
Yeah, he really well
Much
spoken.
Better. He should be on the seat. Yeah, no,
On top of you?
I hope. No, I'm kidding.
Wow.
I think that – consensually. No, I think that –
you have to ask Darina. Luke, do you want to share a seat with me? Exactly. That's what I said consensually. Uh-huh. And you're like, thank you.
Thank you.
I think that I agree with both of what you guys said. But I think in general, the issue with fandom right now is not just the expectation stuff, is the fact that because there's so many things being rebooted or reimagined, there's just so much content out there. The good part of that is that you can find something that you like, right? Even if you hate everything else, you can find, like, either you like The Mandalorian, but you hate the new trilogy, or vice versa. Like, I think that's nice that we have that. But at the same time, I also think that nostalgia is a disease. So that's my opinion. Hmm. Anyways.
Nostalgia is important.
Yes.
But I would argue that...
Some diseases are important. Mm-hmm. I would get rid of some of the population.
I would argue that we're in a position of fans having too many expectations going into these properties. Right. So I think it's important to know what you want, but also to not be so staunchly attached to what you want. I think you can have opinions of, like, I'd be excited if, but if that doesn't happen, I don't think you should be, like, angry at it. Because I think then that, like, implies fate versus choice, right? Like, if fate is all that you have, then we exist just to die. I think life is about making choices, and if you don't make a choice when you go into a movie, if you don't have choices of experiencing while you're there, why'd you go in the first place? So, like, right now, when I had those negative things to say about Star Wars, I still made a whole Instagram post about how I think people should see it. I think everyone should go make their choice about how they feel, but if you're so attached to your feelings about something, that negates the entire experience of experiencing.
Right. And to that point, we talked about it earlier, like, me sitting there just watching the movie yesterday, I wasn't thinking, like, oh my god, like, yes, my brain was like, some of these things I cannot stand. I don't know what they did this, but I also let myself enjoy what I actually liked about the movie.
You have the freedom
and
as a
I
fan
think,
to...
Exactly. And I think that that's important. It's like when about expectations is when you go see any of these big franchise movies, like, it's not going to, most of them are not going to be, you know, 2001 or The Godfather, whatever classic movies we have out there, right? But movies are meant to be escapism and they're meant to be fun. And the most important thing here is don't ruin the fun for other people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think as an aspiring filmmaker and somebody who writes scripts and hopes to make them one day, I just hope that people don't go in with what they want. I just hope that they see what I made. And we spent 2 hours and 22 minutes watching Star Wars yesterday, all of us. They spent years and years of their lives working on something. So they get to take their shot. And you do not have to like it. But if you go in with these thoughts, like, you know, I've heard a lot of different thoughts beforehand, no spoilers, but like people wanting somebody to be a clone, or people wanting somebody to be
a
relative, or people want, you know,
any
of
the theories.
Any of the theories going in that people are diehard, or people wanting to see people from the old movies make appearances, or the things that people are theorizing and wanting. And when those things didn't happen or did happen, they felt a certain way, like, gotcha, or didn't get that. And I just try to – I have things that I obviously would prefer.
Of course.
But when those things don't happen or they do happen, I try not to really feel one way or the other. I try to really look at it and think, like, but did I like what happened?
Right.
Whether it was what I thought or wanted or didn't.
And that's a matter of just – we talked about this on yesterday's show with Rocco. We were talking about our own, like, anxiety issues in general. It's a matter of control, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of us can think sometimes that we kind of have property over these characters. And because we grow – it's the ownership part of it, right? And we really don't, right? Like, it's – we have ownership in the sense of, like, yes, like, they're meaningful to us, and we can – you know, we can keep loving them as to, like, whatever that helps us in our lives, in our personal lives. But we don't have ownership over the actual movie. And the studios, right?
But people feel like they do.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm saying about the years thing.
Correct.
You do not.
Exactly.
Just because you went and spent 2 hours of your life and they're grateful for your time does not mean you get to say what happens in the next movie.
Exactly.
Spider-Man's my favorite comic book character, and I've spent my entire life framed around my love of Spider-Man, and I hate Iron Spider. I think making Spider-Man Iron Man is garbage. But the moment I accepted the MCU Spider-Man wasn't the comic Spider-Man, I was able to enjoy the movies more.
Right.
And that was the
difference
between going
with expectations.
Even though
it wasn't what you wanted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not the character I think of as Spider-Man, but the MCU Spider-Man is enjoyable separately.
Because they're doing a good job with it.
So I remove myself from my 30 years of experience and go, like, oh, that's what they're doing. And I think that's really hard for a lot of people, but it's made me so much happier.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Cody, let's take another call. Hottest nightclub in town, Collider Live. Caller, you're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Cam from Mississippi again.
Mississippi, what's going on? What do you got for us today?
Well, I'm excited about Star Wars. Loved the new episode of Mandalorian. All great stuff.
Good.
I want my Star Wars fans to take a page from another fandom. New pictures came out for the next Bill and Ted, and I've always tried to live my life by their credos of be excellent to one another and party on, dudes.
Yes, Cam. So
Cam, you're the best.
I want to go enjoy this movie. I want to talk about it with y'all and anybody else over the days and months to come and just have a good time. But those new pictures for Bill and Ted, they got me excited.
Yo, my name is Cam, and I'm the man because I speak reason, which isn't a treason. I'm not sure if treason has an A, but that's what I did on this lovely day.
Treason does have an A.
Treason? Like, oh, I think it's just treason, not a treason.
Correct.
Spelling of treason. Yeah.
Cam, word. Word. Like, I feel
to
you.
Your mother.
Word to your mother. I agree, but I have a feeling that the Star Wars fans are not taking a Bill and Ted page, but we don't know.
I'm both.
Yeah.
I grew up on Star Wars. I read those books, and you know what? I think it's in them. The hope is there somewhere in the fandom.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? It's got to be in there. Everybody, y'all are passionate about this stuff for a reason. I'm passionate about it for a reason. There's a reason we feel it deep in our souls. And, you know, I don't know how much of it's social media. I don't know how much of it's the internet. I think deep inside, when you look at the themes of Star Wars about hope and family and redemption and goodness, that seed is in there. And that's what they use to play with our hearts in these stories. And we have to live up to the potential of that, you know, as a fandom and say, hey, this is something we can get behind. Let's enjoy each other and celebrate the stuff together. Are there things we're not going to like about it? Yeah. You know, there hasn't been a flawless Star Wars movie since, what, 1980?
Since Empire.
Everybody's had a problem with every single one since
I wouldn't even
then.
Call it flawless. But I love it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no such thing as something you can't look at and say, I don't like that. The prequels, I have tons of problems with prequels, but I can still watch them and enjoy them. I can enjoy them with, you know, my daughter. I can enjoy them with other people.
Cam,
look at it and say,
it's very interesting that you chose the words hope, family, redemption, and goodness. I like those words you chose, and I think this will be an interesting movie for you.
Yeah.
It will be very interesting.
I'm going to pull out one little quote from Master and Apprentice, the Expanded Universe novel, and it's the one at the end of the last main chapter before the epilogue. We don't choose the light because of winning. We choose it because it's the light.
Mm. I love that.
Okay.
And I look at that, and, you know, that's the way I kind of feel Star Wars comes across. That's the message that we see come across with Vader. He's not choosing his son because that's the winning side. He's choosing his son because it's right.
Vader spoilers.
1980
spoilers for a 1983 80 movie.
Vader's Luke's dad? Shit.
Whoa. Spoiler free.
Wasn't he like
somebody else's dad too?
Uncle or
my daddy?
No, but I see those scenes and I see the potential in the fandom, and I think we have it in us to do better.
Thank you so much for the call, Cam. I really appreciate it. I agree, and I think that you're spot on. I'm really excited to hear what you think about the movie.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
I can't wait to watch it tomorrow night.
Thank you for the call.
Cam. It's interesting to hear him quote something like that because I see these fandoms sometimes turn a little bit like religion to some people, you know, that it kind of becomes a cult in a bad way, but it can also be good because that's how I feel about religion in general, right? We're like, oh, if it serves a purpose for you to be a moral person, that's great, right? Mm-hmm. The problem is when you go and like you use religion as like a, you know, an excuse to promote your own hate.
Right.
Or ignorance, right? Like, there's that balance of like, hey, like if people are liking these movies that I'm not as into, but it's helping them just do good things, great.
I think it's better to follow Spider-Man than some angry Old Testament god. I think it's a way better, safer move. Power and responsibility is what's in that book without the rage.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let's take one more call before we head
Daddy.
Out for the day.
Let's get blasphemous.
I think that's a caller. Or did
Daddy.
You... Yeah.
Hello.
Okay, caller on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm Luisa from Florida.
Did you say Luisa's?
Diedrich.
All right.
How's it going, Diedrich?
Diedrich, so happy to have you here. What do you got for us today?
Yeah, I got
two questions for you. I wanted to know, did you guys see Waves?
Oh, I loved Waves, right. Dude.
I have not seen Waves. I hear it's one of the best movies of the year. You loved
really?
It, Corey?
It's in my top 10. It's incredible. I've seen it twice. It's not short.
Wow. That's another Sterling
moving.
One, right?
Yeah, Sterling K. Brown this year. Yeah. Frozen 2, Maisel, This Is Us, Waves, SKB put in the work.
Always put in the work. What's your second question for us?
And about music, I want to switch the genre. What's your favorite R&B singer?
Our favorite R&B singer. Diedrich, thank you so much for the call. Let's chat. I feel like this is more of a coy.
R&B singer? I mean, if Stevie Wonder counts, then that's him. It used to be Aretha.
Does Beyonce count? Is she R&B?
I don't know really what
like the definition of
R&B. Yeah.
Like, do they have,
I understand what,
what the
acronym is.
You're welcome, Roxy.
Rhythm and blues.
Now
thank
I
you.
Get it.
I mean, R&B is a tricky genre, right? Because I think Beyonce counts. I also think Johnny
think
Cash
hip-hop,
at times
hip-hop
counts.
Hip-hop is a hard genre, too. I don't know.
The definition.
Oh, yeah. You think Johnny Cash is R&B?
Like, he's about like rhythm and blues as part of his sound. So I think that the definition of what R&B is really like.
I feel like he's more country. In that case, like R&B would be more like Roy Orbison.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
true.
I mean? Like that bluesy kind of
yeah.
voice. So.
Rhythm and blues.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
R&B
is forgotten
blues.
The last couple seconds.
For me, that isn't like generally my genre. I tend to like beats per minute to be faster than I speak, so I don't like slow
and that
music.
That is so fast.
Yeah, like my music's got to
holy
be.
Holy shit.
And my music's buddy. Not Adderall fueled. It's not my shit.
Have you guys ever heard Koi do a speed round?
About pace.
Whoa.
Yeah. So R&B tends to make me anxious because I'm waiting for the next word. So
you're like, come on, guy, let's go.
Get to the end.
Cody, any R&B?
Well, there's that one group. What's their name? Simple Plan.
I feel bad.
Hear the blues.
I feel bad for Diedrich because we have no answers. Riley,
hey, that's Stevie Wonder.
I would say Ray Charles for me.
Wonder rhythm R&B.
Ray Charles.
I mean,
I had a big, huge Ray Charles.
R&B?
I would consider him R&B.
I think that they were like the original people that were doing that.
I like them.
Now it's evolved like the genre into these other more like popular things.
Is John Legend R&B?
Like poppier R&B, I feel like.
The new Childish album's R&B. Like that sound is R&B adjacent.
I like this new show. Four grandparents sit in a room and talk about Dorina, what do you feel like qualifies as rhythm and blues?
Well, clearly Simple Plan.
That's what the kids are listening to. I do hear the rhythm and the blues. Yes, I do understand that and appreciate it. Guys,
but also, you guys know, what's her name? Well, like Janelle Monáe, FKA Twigs, do they count? Because I love them.
I would say Janelle Monáe does. I
love her.
Yeah. I think so. Clearly I don't effing know, and I have to catch up on R&B stuff. Guys, that's all the time we have for the show today. Koi Jandro, thank you so much for being here.
That's
where can everybody keep up with you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Koi Jandro. Find me on Heroes. Find me on Comic Book Shopping. I'm so proud of that show.
Dude, you have had the dopest guests of all time on that show.
I'm so proud of that show.
You
and
should
Yahya
be.
Abdul-Mateen is brilliant. That episode just dropped this week, and we had so much fun with some really, really deep cut comics. Or not super deep cut, but really weird existential comics.
I can't believe Yahya. Like
you
that.
Met Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, and we had a great time. That dude is so brilliant. He graduated
from
Yale and
Berkeley.
Did you ask
him about his blue dong or no?
He brought up his blue dong. In fact, that's a great teaser for the show. Check out where we talk about his blue dong.
I like that.
I'm like definitely checking that out.
As sold as I am right now.
There it is, guys.
It's like Jake Gyllenhaal already had me sold, but yeah.
We didn't talk about Jake's blue dong. Yeah. It was implied, though.
I'm curious how that was implied. Mark Riley, everybody.
Thank you
for being here. The most evil Dorina.
Later, guys.
Told you to stop with that wave, man. Ooh, Enchantress Dance. Cody Hall, thank you. We missed Alex Marzonia, but he'll be back with us. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning for Collider Live. Possibly a very big guest. We'll let you know if that ends up happening by being here live. Okay, bye.
Napa Know How. This month, Napa's got all kinds of motor oil deals that can save you some serious cash. Like a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $16.49. With savings like that, you may start feeling like a VIP. But don't let it go to your head. These oil deals are for everyone. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 8/31/20.
Stay little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, From Negative to Positive, brought to you by my friends over at State Farm. I believe that to have success, you got to play the game so that the game doesn't play you. You know, the biggest risk you take is not taking one.
It's very important that you make sure that you make the most out of your money, especially when it comes to insurance. State Farm offers surprisingly great rates. They have great agents standing by helping you personalize your coverage. All this is backed up by award-winning, easy-to-use technology. It's a great price with an even greater service. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.